This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Regardless of the hour. If you have any questions or concerns, please call the program director during business hours at 713-526-4000. This is KPFT Houston.
Thank you. following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude for Saturday, November 5th. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one. And I also love to be queer. Yes, indeedy. Okay, we have got a packed show, plus it is membership drive. That number, 713-526-5738.
713-526-5738.
Yes.
JMKPFT, 713.
You know, we only come to you a few times a year that shell up some money to pay the bills around here, and I like to open the show and just say, okay, it's a membership drive, here's the number, call in, and then go on with the show. Because there have been quite a few times when folks actually did call in and pledged, and we didn't have to bother you folks so much during the show. So we've got folks sitting by waiting for your calls at 713-526-5738. We have a packed show because we've got Colt 45s here for just a few minutes. They're going to talk about what's going on with their organization and some fundraising things. Then we've got Theater Suburbia with their new Christmas play that's coming up. It opened last night, and right now they've got a cast party going on, and they're listening to us. This is called Nobody Goes Caroling Anymore with co-directors Judy Reeves and Doris Merton.
Does that mean they're going to wrap her up in gauze and plaster of Paris? It's a cast party?
It's been done.
I know, this is a typical weekend for Judy.
Yeah. So in the court report tonight...
Hold on, let me warn us something.
What?
I've turned on your microphone.
Oh, okay.
Please watch what you say.
I'm cunning, but I'm not bad.
Yes.
Read your right nipple,
yes.
Leave the left nipple alone.
Yes.
So your mics are live.
In the court report tonight, it's time for some old-time religion. This Sunday is the annual Church of the Rhinestone Revival, hosted by Apollo Emperor Mark Cohen and Gemini Empress
Express.
Chanel Cartier. That's happening at the BRB at 8:30 p.m. That's, of course, Sunday, November the 6th. And this is a fundraiser for Rain 4. So please, everyone, get out and support this event. We haven't had there hasn't been an ICOH show in the BRB in quite a while. So raise those hands up and pull out that bling bling. Yes, indeedy. And then Wednesday is the Jukebox Show. It's Drag in a Bag, hosted by Jason Myers and me.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, Lord, yes. You do drag again.
Well, no, I'm not doing drag. The thing of it is that for folks that are performing in the show, they get to do one number on their own, and then Jason and I throw a bag of accoutrements at them, and they have to put them on and do their next number.
Now, Jimmy, when you agreed to do that, you didn't know it was required of the host, too?
I know that's wrong.
Disclaimer, you didn't read the disclaimer.
I'm going to be Gerald for this show.
Oh.
So, I will be on the mic, and
well, that's the kind of accoutrement's
going to
be on.
Kelly will be on stage, and then we'll have other folks doing all kinds of things. That'll be fun. And let's see. Next Saturday, November the 11th at 8 p.m., Getting Off on the Right Foot. That's a show hosted by the Board of Directors. It's happening at EJ's. Yes. Now, something happening today, Saturday, it's the LHI, Lesbian Health Initiative, Rainbow Health Fair for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered women. That is happening at the Montrose Clinic, 215 Westheimer. We were talking about this last week, and mammograms had to be scheduled, so if you haven't called to do that, you probably won't be able to have a mammogram, but
maybe they'll squeeze you in.
There's all kinds of other things for Well Woman Services there. Cholesterol check, blood pressure, and glucose, and blood testing, and all the way down the line. So, excuse me for coughing into the phone. Coughing into the mic. That
just push your lung back into
the Montrose Clinic, 215 Westheimer, tomorrow, 8:20 to 3 p.m. And now let's get on with our guests. We have the Colt 45s here, and who is it that we have in the audience in the studio right now?
Well, I'd read his name tag, but I can't.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's covered up with graffiti.
Yes, the words you won't say.
Thank you, Jimmy and Chris. My name is Stephen Bunge. I'm the current president of the Colt 45s. It's always a great time to be here at KPFT, radio that listens to you. Person sitting next to me.
He's reading the cue cards in there.
No, he's using his radio voice.
I'm using my radio voice.
He's copying me. He's been listening to me for so many years. He's copying my three ball voice.
No, he's got bass in his voice.
He's the one that's got three balls, but I'm the one with the three balls.
I love those 3 a.m. Ted Baxter calls from Jimmy Carper in the middle of the night. So I like this. It's that radio voice that gets me going.
Yes, yes.
But my co-pilot tonight is.
Don't leave it for me to introduce Keith Vivial.
Yeah, since you both remembered your names, we'll
just
leave your mics on. Okay.
Oh, not just a member.
No.
I'm the substitute tonight for the secretary that's usually here, but she's tired.
We treat every member special at the Colts.
I've heard that about her.
Yeah.
Yes. And you are you have done things with the Colts.
A few.
Oh, on that note, let's go to. It sounds like a Springer episode. You've done thing with the Colts.
No, Keith. How long have you been with the Colts?
Oh God,
it was a dark and stormy night.
I guess about 10, 11 years.
See. So I know you've probably done a few things. Yes, and Stephen, you?
No, this is not my first year. I think I'm going on 3, no. 4, something like that. They blur.
I know. So what's going on with the Colts? I know that you've got a big fundraiser coming up in December, right? Or is that November?
Well, we have our fall harvest.
Yes.
On November 13th.
Okay.
At the Brazos River Bottom.
Mm-hmm.
BRB, for those of you locales. 6 p.m. We have a little. We ask for a little donation for food. It is deemed our spaghetti western.
Ooh.
So, what kind of food do you think we're going to have?
Tamales.
We decided to do a full finger food pasta dinner. No, it's just. We're going to do our spaghetti dinner.
Yeah.
Food starts, kicks off at 6. Mm-hmm. We have a show promptly at 7. Guaranteed to start no later than 7:05.
Okay.
Don, you know who you are. I promise I will start it soon. We will start it soon. with a fabulous show and possibly a few prizes. December.
Ooh.
December.
Now, wait a minute. There's for that food, people should kick in about $5 or $10 bucks.
Yeah, we ask for a small contribution, a $5 contribution, or whatever you think it's worth.
Sure.
Some people a little bit more, some people a little less. But you know, those that stick around for the fabulous show.
Is Tommy going to be part of the food committee?
You know, he has part in some of that.
Mm-hmm.
He took a little sabbatical during the whole hurricane. He was sequestered up in Michigan.
Oh.
So he's still kind of getting his Houston legs back, and he hasn't been cooking, so I miss that, too.
Oh, man, no kidding. Nobody cooks like Tommy.
5 pounds. I live just down the street, and the man cooks for the block sometimes. I love you, Tommy.
Wow, wow.
But December, for our Christmas show, I can guarantee he'll have a hand in that.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather you put the food in.
Well, yeah. Well, we're talking turkeys, you know. So
yeah.
He'll have a hand in those turkeys.
I'll bet he does.
And he'll make sure they're well done.
I love a good-fisted turkey.
Oh, no, I didn't say that. He's cunning, but he's not that smart. Just joking.
Where's that disclaimer?
I don't know. It went away.
For those of you scoring at home, or even if you're alone, that's 1-0.
One love.
Yeah, one love.
I see.
Yeah, a tennis player loves me.
Okay, so what is it that's happening in December?
Our Christmas show, December 18th.
Yes.
The Viking is kicking in. Dang, this is good. We have food starting at 6, but we have major prizes that we will announce in November. We're thinking like, you know, not like large appliances, but it'll be our major appliances and our awards, too. We get to hand out some really nice awards
to
the community.
Yes, you do.
So that's always a nice thing to do.
I have been most fortunate to be on the receiving end of those.
And the awards, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I got a couple of those also.
And some of the large appliances, 4D battery.
Ba-dum-bum. So Keith can't even get a word in edgewise.
Oh, I'm sorry, Keith.
He's doing fine.
He's my lifeguard. I wasn't, you know, he was just afraid I was going to say something wrong, but I couldn't do that.
No, because you're
I'm presidential.
Yeah, that's right.
I have misled you, but that's just me.
Mm.
Would you like to say something, Keith?
Go for it.
So, Keith, are you going to be part of the show?
Oh, yes, I guess. I guess I'll be doing a couple of things.
Will Keith be part of the show, or will Kendra?
No. Keith will be part of the show.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I guess I learned the other night I'm organizing the opening number.
Oh.
Oh, wow. We always look forward to that.
Now, for which show?
For which show?
Yes.
Oh,
the Fall Harvest? Or
the Fall Harvest.
Okay.
No, Kendra won't be out until Turnabout for ICOH.
Okay. When is that?
In December.
Okay. I got to get ready for that.
Yes, Turnabout, Jimmy Carper. Boy, we could get some donations there.
Although a couple of weeks ago we saw Jimmy Carper in a dress.
Yes.
Oddly, you should mention that.
Yes.
I just happen to have the pictures here if I show those on the radio.
Yes, you can. I grant you permission to show those on the radio.
I brought my pie chart.
Actually, I mean, I got a scanner at work. But then again, we're definitely talking obscene then.
Yes, we are. Anyway, Fall Harvest next Saturday night. And
Sunday.
Sunday night. Oh, what am I thinking? And then the Christmas show is December the
18th. We'll be back to push that one. You'll see posters and pushcards, and we've got some other plans. We're going to work the community to get their support again.
Think of it, folks. That'd be nice for a date. You know, spaghetti dinner, good show for a great organization. The Colt 45s is kind of that last resort when folks need rent and utilities, right?
Well, yes, that's our AIDS trouble fund. Which, mm-hmm. Gosh, you're going to let me hog all this. I didn't mean to. The AIDS trouble fund, which is our, we help people with rent and utility assistance who are people with AIDS, as mm-hmm. well as we've got, we help out Stone Soup Pantry.
Right.
And if I might say that, I'll turn it over to my co-pilot so I won't hog everything. Gosh, I would never want to be branded as that. But whenever we come on here, we always talk about the Colt 45s, and it's nice to have people say some of the good things that we do. But I feel remiss if I would feel remiss if I didn't mention the fact that we've been lucky to have an association with the BRB for a long time. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, when you think the Colt 45s, you think the BRB because we've been there. We actually house our office. We're not just hanging out there. We have an office space that they've given us for free for a long time. And I would like to thank them, too. I think we always forget to mention them, but I think those that know us know that the BRB and Colt 45s are pretty much attached to the hip. And Craig and Joanne and Twister and Tommy Sue and all those other people.
We're pretty good here about promoting all of the clubs that do the fundraisers week in and week out. You know, EJ's and Mary's and Michael's Outpost. And I know that Chances does a lot of stuff. Keys West.
Oh, they have. And I didn't mean to be.
And BRB especially.
See, they didn't, but just with the Colts. I've been coming on, been lucky enough to be able to be on here several times, and I keep always forgetting to mention them. That I just, we couldn't have done a lot of the stuff that we've done over the last 29 years, 30 coming up next year.
That's right.
Without the help of all the clubs and organizations.
You bet. Yes. But the BRB is kind of special for the Colts. And so, Keith, do you want to talk about maybe the Till Thacker Fund? What is that about?
If need be, you can treat him as a puppet.
Oh, I would never do that.
Well, thank you to me.
I would.
Till Thacker Fund, named after one of our members, Till Thacker III, who has passed away, but was as a memorial fund named after him, was, I hate using the word catch-all fund, but it started off as a way to help out and grant persons and or organizations help that our other funds set up for people with AIDS as well as to help out Stone Soup really didn't cover. So it kind of, for a long time, it was thought as the burial fund, and it may have been. But it's been our way to be able to put monies aside that are not designated for one of our other two charities but still go to charitable donations. Yeah. Because with the Colt 45s, when you walk up and hand us a dollar for AIDS Trouble Fund, it goes to AIDS Trouble Fund or it goes to Stone Soup Fund. But we still put other monies aside for charitable donations in that Till Thacker Fund. So sometimes we have actual fundraisers where the money gets to go into that, and through that we can help for people with things like with the Katrina, and we've been able to help other people and other organizations that have needed a little bit of assistance and still kept our charitable status that way, because we kind of set that up to have another way to help out the community without being too broad-based but not also restrict us. So, because sometimes, you know that, Jimmy, in some organizations you start off doing something good, and if you open it up too wide, you open a floodgate that you know that you'll last maybe about a day and a half with your money. But if you shut it down too much, then you'll never be able to give the money away, and that's the worst thing you possibly do is have too much money. But that's what Till Thacker is kind of about.
But yes, and that came along just at the right time. My very best friend in the world, who died back in the 90s, Bill Gaddy, was helped out by the Till Thacker Fund for his burial, and his family was so grateful that the Colts were able to help out with that, and I am too. So for that reason and many others, I've been a big supporter of the Colts and always will be.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on. I don't want to rush you off, but
how do we get in touch with the Colts?
Oh, you're going to put me on a spot, aren't you? Oh, my goodness. Well, you can always go to our website at www.colt45s.org.
Does that Colt 45?
S.org.
Okay.
Or, without a Q, you can call our AIDS Trouble Fund hotline, 713-526-6077. And that doesn't spell anything, I don't think.
No.
Oh, it's nothing bad.
It's probably something you can't say.
No, we're not that cunning. And you could leave messages not only for AIDS Trouble Fund, but you can get an application for our AIDS Trouble Fund, as well as you can now download that application off our website,
cool.
too. So that kind of saves some people, too. So, and we have a Dropbox for people with questions or help at the BRB. That's why it's always nice to have that little drop-off. They have a little mail slot. So.
Oh, yeah.
It's fabulous.
Yes. Okay, thank you very much, Stephen and Keith, for being here tonight.
I didn't mean to talk
over you. That's okay.
That's okay. From what I heard last time, you didn't get to talk enough. So.
Well, I got a little sick, so, you know, and it wasn't anything with this atmosphere here, just, you know, I know. It's these late night talk shows, you know, you stop, you make a couple of stops along the way, and I think I had some bad ice.
Oh, yeah, that's happened to me. I know how that can be. You know, you get that bad ice in your Diet Coke, and it's just terrible. Okay, we'll see you next Sunday night at Fall Harvest at the BRB. And coming up, right after we tell you the number to call again, for membership drive.
Yes, time for our begging and pleading.
Yes, please.
Should we go serious or funny?
No. In fact, we're going to do 30 seconds, and we're going to go right to Theater Suburbia. That's what we're going to do.
Well, first we have to wrangle them in here. Hold on. Here, let me get Theater Suburbia in here.
Goodness.
Okay. So I'm going to get Theater Suburbia in. That's the quickest we've ever
gotten
it
in. That was the quickest we ever had. Yeah.
713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT.
Now, I know those folks are sitting there or cavorting there at the at the party, the cast party, listening to us. So they got to learn about the Colt 45s, and now they're going to see just what that interview was like.
See nothing. This is radio, not television. Here.
Well, you know, with KPFT, you tune in so you can see what you've been listening. Just hit the button.
Okay,
for our After Hours Quickie tonight, we've got our friends from Theater Suburbia here with a brand new play that opened up tonight, as I recall. We've got the co-directors here, Doris and Judy.
We have brands. Yes.
So tell me, what's the name of the play? What's it about? What's the deal?
It's called Nobody Goes Caroling Anymore. It's written by Dave Randall, a man that wrote last year's melodrama, The Wrong Side of the Law. He wrote us another one. We may kill him after this one, too, but
yeah, that
so
won't
far
be it, though.
We're having fun doing it.
Good.
And like you said, it opens tonight, November the 4th, runs through December the 3rd, Friday and Saturdays at 8:30. There are two Sunday matinees on November the 20th and November the 27th at 3 p.m.
Good. So what's it about?
I'll let Judy tell you.
It's about nobody going caroling anymore. No, actually, it's an interesting little story. And by the way, it has a couple of little original pieces of music in it, too, that they wrote when he wrote this, which is kind of unusual for Theater Suburbia sets as well.
Theater Suburbia sings.
Yeah, well, we try.
Sort of.
Yeah. We make a lot of good, fun noise.
Are you going to make the audience sing?
Only you, Jim.
Only you. No. Yeah, before the show we have, yes, instead of the usual music in the lobby, etc., we will have actually a live piano player here with little sing-along carols before the show. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a lot of fun, too. It's a little different. But this is kind of the story of Christmas spirit. Who has it? Who doesn't? Why not? That kind of stuff. And it's just all kinds of people from all different walks of life coming together in your typically sappy, funny, good Christmas story. I mean, what is Christmas all about but sappy?
Yeah.
You know, a couple of good stories to tell, good songs to sing, and I don't know, one person in particular, Tony, who will remain nameless, has this fixation on bulls and stuff, but you'll have to come to the play and find out what that's all about. So we'll see. But anyway, it's a good fun show. We've got a fairly large cast, 7 members in the cast, and they're all here tonight along with tech and backstage.
Cool.
So it's a busy little group.
Do we want to do a couple of scenes?
Sure. Do you want anybody to say hello first?
Well, yes, of course. I'm sorry. We're in my manners.
I don't know. Age Before Beauty, we'll start with Carolyn. No.
That's okay. No longer keep it a secret. I'm Carolyn Montgomery, and do you want me to describe my character? I'm Betty Lou Wilson, who's an older woman who has been alone for a number of years since her husband died, and now all these young people come into her life and bring a little joy.
Yeah.
My name is Christy Todd, and my character's name is Abby. She's a woman who knows and loves everything about the Christmas season. We'll tell you all about it at the drop of a hat.
And she so reminds me of you, James.
She also loves to help people, although it doesn't always occur to her to ask them whether they want her help.
I'm Tony D'Armata, and I play Abby's husband, and it says here tone deaf, so I can't sing.
He plays it well.
I'm Rebecca Rosenberg, and I play Francine, and that's the troubled young woman who's girlfriend to the troubled young man.
Which is me. I'm Adam Roch, and I play Max.
The troubled young man.
A troubled young man.
A troubled young man.
And they fit those parts well, too.
Yeah, typecasting.
Yeah, exactly.
My name's Morgan Granberry, and I play Henry, another old fart in the play, and friend of Betty Lou.
Hi, I'm Carl. I play Chris, and Chris plays guitar.
When he's not breaking them, that is.
That's not my fault.
And over behind you, Jimmy, we have our crew to go with the cast.
Yes.
We have Violet, who is our stage manager, and Pamela, who is doing tech for us.
Welcome.
So, the whole crew. Everybody's here.
And we have Charles K. here ourselves.
And Alvin's in a corner someplace. He never talks.
And Judy will let you.
Yeah.
Judy will let you.
Yes.
I'm Pamela Busick, and I'm doing tech.
What does that mean?
It means that
she makes the lights go on.
It means that she doesn't cast
the sound.
There's
a
light on.
There is no play. You have a thing to do because the stage would be dark.
They're much nicer to Pamela and Violet than they are.
Never kick off tech.
Yeah. Pam gives us music.
Without our stage manager, I'm Violet Birchall, my stage manager. And take over when Laura's and Judy finished.
That's right.
And you did costumes.
Heavy props. Heavy props. Lots of costumes in this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's going to be a busy lady.
Oh, yeah.
Without her and the props, the actors couldn't do anything either.
Yeah. She saves our budget regularly.
Backstage people are very important.
Yeah, you never have to be nice to your directors, but you better be nice to your prop and set people.
Yes.
So, yeah, we do have a couple of little scenes we're going to do, and y'all know which ones they are, and I don't have a book, so that's okay.
Chris, let's start with you.
All right. All right. We can't solve world peace right now. We need to rehearse for those people who want to hear Christmas music or Yuletide music, so let's get back to it, huh?
Are you sure? Do we sound all right?
I thought so.
Sure.
It sounded lovely to me.
What?
Huh?
Who said that?
I did.
It's a voice from God.
Except that it's coming from our feet.
Hello? Where are you?
Down here by the building, in the small window.
Oh, there you are. Hello!
Hi.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks. And the same to you all. I didn't mean to interrupt your singing, but I thought you were all wonderful.
And you were worried we wouldn't sound good. We really didn't, but like I said, when you sing Christmas carols, everybody's on your side.
Won't you come in for a minute and get out of the cold?
It's not so cold now.
Speak for yourself. I'm getting chilled.
It doesn't help my fingers, that's for sure.
Then come on in. Come on.
How? Where's your door?
Around the corner and down the alley, and then down the stairs.
Oh, okay. Well, here we come.
Come in. Come in.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Chris. Happy holidays.
Nice to meet you. My name is Betty Lou.
Merry Christmas. I'm Abby.
Nice to meet you, too.
And this is John.
Spelled J-O-N.
I beg your pardon?
My name, John, is spelled J-O-N, not J-O-H-N.
Oh, that's nice.
Really?
Now everybody have a seat.
Really? That's how you spell it?
Yeah.
Huh. In all these years, I've been pronouncing it with an H.
A lot of people do.
Well, you young people just sounded great outside.
Thank you, Betty Lou, but we're just starting.
Sure sounded nice to me.
I didn't know anybody lived down here. I thought Henry lived in the whole house. How long have you been here?
I guess about 5 years. Henry rented it to me after my husband died, and I couldn't live all alone anymore.
We know Henry. I'm surprised we've never met before. I would have thought we'd have met, coming in or out.
Well, I don't get out much. Well, at all.
Ever?
I went out a few times after I moved in, but then I just wasn't able to, or didn't really have a reason to.
What about food? Medicine?
Deliveries and Henry.
Don't you need to see doctors?
House calls.
I wouldn't believe it these days.
He's a friend of Henry's.
Nice book collection.
It was. But I have troubles with my eyes these days. I just can't read anymore like I used to. I used to read a lot. Every one of those books. Many two or three times. I've had some of them for years.
Looks like it. And they're all in really good shape. These, aren't these first editions?
A lot are. Some were signed by the authors.
Wow, they're probably worth a lot then.
Maybe. I don't know.
Haven't you ever had them appraised?
Should I?
Are you kidding? First editions sometimes sell for $1,000 or more.
Each?
Oh, yeah. You should check out some of those internet auction sites.
The internet. Oh, that has to do with computers, right?
Yeah. I don't suppose you have a computer.
Oh, no. I could never learn anything like that.
Sure you could. I did, and I'm not good with technical things at all.
She's not, believe me.
I have enough trouble with my telephone and alarm clock.
Does your VCR blink 12 o'clock, too?
At what?
Video recorder.
Whatever that is, I don't think I have one.
Do you have cable?
A cable? To hold what?
Cable TV, of course.
Oh, sure, I've got TVs in almost every room.
Isn't it amazing how many things are on?
Yeah, I've heard that, but I've never gotten that little round antenna to work right. So I just get the usual four or five channels.
Wow, you really are a shut-in.
Sure is.
Yes. Well, to my
more than me.
She does have her books, Jimmy. That got your attention.
Oh my gosh.
What, Francine?
This place has already been looted, Max. It's a mess.
Nah, this is how it always looks.
And you say there's something worth something in all this trash?
Yeah, I've seen them.
What? What are we looking for?
Books.
Books? You mean like for reading?
Yeah, like for reading.
Big deal. I got books.
Not like these. These are special.
Oh, yeah? Why?
Because they're, what'd you call them? First versions.
What?
Or maybe it was, first renditions. She told me about it the other day when I made a delivery. Only she didn't think they were worth much, but I did some research and learned that some can be worth several hundred dollars each. She has lots of books. Dozens. So then all may be worth a couple dozen hundred dollars.
This doesn't even make sense.
We'll do the math later.
She's got a ton of books here.
Yeah, a gold mine. And I thought books were dumb.
No, Max. I mean, a ton is in like 2,000 pounds. We can't carry them all out of here.
I was just going to take a few tonight, get them to this guy I know, and find out which ones are worth the most. Then when I come back with other deliveries, I can maybe grab a few each time.
It's not a bad idea.
With all these books, she won't miss a few.
But what if she wants to read one of them? Won't she miss them?
She told me that she can't see so good, so she don't read no more.
Cool. So, which ones do we take this time?
I think she pointed to these. Let's start here anyway. Just grab a few.
Okay, but then let's get out of here. I'm starting to get nervous.
She's old and deaf and blind and sound asleep. She said that once her head hits the pillow, she don't know nothing till morning. Just grab books, will you?
Uh-oh.
What?
This don't look good, Max.
What don't?
This book. It's a Bible.
A what?
A Bible! That's like stealing God from her!
Aw, Francine, lay off the superstitions.
But Max!
Look, we're stealing anyway, right? We won't win no awards for that.
Stealing Bibles at Christmas? That's low, even for you.
Do you want money or not? You know I love you, baby. I'm doing this for you.
All right, if you think so.
Hello? Oh, I thought I heard
heard voices.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
You look familiar. Do I know you?
I don't think.
Especially you, young man.
Well, I,
Oh, you're the people singing the Christmas carols, aren't you? Okay. Oh. Now, one more on the stage.
Singing Christmas carols, huh?
Oh. Believe me, when we turn off the mic and take a break, we'll let you sing your song for you, Jimmy.
No.
Okay, one more, and I'm going to bring Abby in.
Look at this, Henry. We got all the ingredients for a terrific Christmas party. We'll get it all set up before Betty Lou gets home tomorrow from the hospital, and then...
Too late. She came home a while ago.
She did? Oh, no. And I wanted to surprise her.
Yeah, well, here's her surprise. She doesn't want a party.
What?
She came in, said she doesn't want a party, nothing.
What? No Christmas? We couldn't possibly do that. Betty Lou needs a party, and she should get it whether she thinks she does or not.
She's determined to be miserable, doesn't want to see anybody, and certainly doesn't want a Christmas party.
But she must. We have so much to give her.
That's like Max controlling me.
No, this is completely different.
How?
Well,
I think you got her there.
Maybe you're right.
So I carried these boxes all the way over here for nothing?
I'll talk to her. See what I can do. I'm not going to make any promises because she seemed different somehow. A little more resolved. More lucid in some ways since she was concerned about losing her memory.
Does it seem serious?
She said she doesn't want Christmas. Doesn't want anybody around. She came in and shut herself into her room. It would probably just be best if everybody left her alone.
It's my fault. I should have talked Max out of it. If we hadn't have broken in that night, she'd probably be okay.
It wasn't your fault. It's something that's been brewing with her for a long time. When people get older, these things can happen. And all the drugs and all the therapy in the world won't help.
But that's not fair. We got it all planned.
Abby, it's not your decision. It's hers.
I suppose you're right. But still, who doesn't want a Christmas party?
Right now, she doesn't. Like I said, I'll talk to her. But why don't you just go on home now?
All right. See you later.
See you, Henry.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, if that's not just the saddest thing...
You can't live her life for her any more than you can live Francine's.
Is that what I do, John? Try to force other people's lives?
Maybe. It's really not a bad thing. You're only trying to bring happiness and hope to people.
I suppose. Hey, we forgot the boxes.
Forget it. We'll get them later.
All right, then. Come along, Francine. You can stay in the guest room.
You sure? I don't want to be no trouble.
No trouble at all. Right, John? She's more than welcome.
What does that mean, more than welcome? If somebody's welcome, that's one thing. But how can somebody be more than welcome? Does that mean they're so welcome that now they have to leave?
Oh, never mind.
I keep thinking I want to go home to Max.
No. You have to stand up for what you want. Like you told me about Betty Lou, remember?
Okay, but just one night.
Is Henry right? Betty Lou doesn't want a Christmas? How could someone so lonely not want Christmas?
Well, that's what he said. We'll see how things are tomorrow.
Tomorrow. It's always tomorrow. You try to help people and they either don't want it or just don't care. Maybe I should stop trying to help people. It only seems to hurt me and doesn't really seem to help anybody.
You're helping me. That's something.
I am? Yeah. Maybe I am. Thanks.
Cool. One thing we forgot.
Yes.
We're located at 1410 West 43rd.
No, we just take this.
Just off the 610 Loop and Ella Boulevard. Telephone number 713-682-3525. 24-hour answering service. You can call for reservations anytime you want to.
Cool.
And you can even drop in if you want to, but reservations are better.
Yes.
And if you mention you heard us on your show.
On After Hours.
Right. We have a discount for it.
Cool.
2 for 1.
That's great.
What a deal.
And I know our listeners do too. Now, every Friday and Saturday night through December 3rd.
Right.
And the two Sunday matinees?
November the 20th and November the 27th.
Okay.
Day after my birthday.
Uh-oh.
If we're sober enough after having the party at my house.
If you've got a lot of friends and you want to come in groups of 10 or whatever, they offer a discount for that too. So,
a group of 15.
No, it's a group of 10.
Yeah, 15 or more. Yeah, get a discount.
That's what I read.
Well, I better reread that.
Yeah.
Oh, prepayments are okay. I'm sorry, I was reading the prepayment part. Okay.
No, I read the one that came.
Bring
out.
All your friends anyway. You get 15. I bet if it's 14 and a half, we'll still give you free seats anyway. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we want to thank you for having us on the show.
You betcha. Really appreciate it. And I'm sorry I don't get to hear the singing.
I guess I gotta
come.
Why don't we just have Max and Francine just do a quick ditty for Jimmy?
No.
Okay, a quick rendition of Jingle Bells.
Everybody.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
The play is called Nobody Goes Caroling Anymore at Theater Suburbia. Thank you all for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Did you?
That's it.
Cool. That was fun doing that. Smiley and I went to the theater last week and.
Hold on. We gotta get them out of there. Get them out of here.
Oh, okay.
All right. Whew. It's about time we finally got Theater Suburbia in and out of the room so quickly. Now
they're all having fun at the cast party, and I hope they got to hear that. Nobody Goes Caroling Anymore, playing through December 3rd. Go see it. It's fun. It's a nice way to start your Christmas season by going to Theater Suburbia.
You know, we just got through with Halloween. Let's quit talking about Christmas.
Well,
there's already this one store out by on 290 that tells you how many shopping days are left till Christmas.
How nice.
It's like, God. If you ever wanted to fly off the freeway in your car. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude.
Right here on good old KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM and 89.5 in Galveston.
And speaking of jingle bells, we haven't had anybody jingle our bells.
Oh, that's right. And that number is 713-526-5738. It is membership drive time. And we need to let management know that After Hours can pull its weight and that it deserves to be here. And I hear a bell ringing. That is very, very good. I want people to keep that up.
Staring at Jimmy
because we have
a joke.
Unbelievably high goal to reach. I don't know what it is. Something like $20,000. I don't know. What is it?
I didn't even bother to look.
It's really high. So we need those phones ringing with your pledges of support.
Basically, I mean, you know, we come here and we do it nonchalantly. You know, other shows will sit there and go, you know, every 5 minutes they have this little pie chart.
It drives me crazy.
Here's how long we're going to pitch for, and here's how long we're going to bitch for, and just try and get the money in.
Yeah,
and the fact is this, you know, if you listen to this show, you know what type of program we do.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you love us, hate us, you listen to us.
You listen to us either for the fun that we have, or you listen to us for the education you get on queer issues. And, you know, we have a lot of straight listeners, and they always come up to me and tell me about the transgender show or the leather show. They're just fascinated by those two. They probably are really tuned in for the bisexual show, but, you know, hey.
But the fact is that, you know, we don't subscribe to the Arbitron ratings, you know. You won't hear us like the Coma station over there telling you, we're the number one station in Houston. We don't have a clue, you know. We're buried down on the dial there with the college stations, the Christian stations.
We're between jazz and Jesus.
And you know, you need to find for the management to know. All we can go by is, you know, it sounds way too capitalist for this commie little station we're on.
Mm-hmm.
But the only way they can tell people are listening out there, who are in the free world, is with your pledge of support.
And listen, speaking of not being in the free world, we have a particular MBB, a man behind bars, who
pledges stamps.
Now that's the most sacred commodity in the prison system is stamps, because that's the only outlet to the outside world.
And you know, we need your support. We need it. 713-526-5738. And we need new members.
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. We are especially looking for new members.
We at After Hours, we specialize in virgins.
Yes.
And we want to help you lose your KPFT virginity. And that's what we want. Is we want people to show how much they care for this program.
Speaking of loss, we just recently lost our leadership circle member.
Yes.
Robert has moved away to take care of his ailing mother. So he'll be gone for at least a year, maybe more, before he comes back.
And, Robert was carrying a lot of people.
Yes, and Robert wasn't here we didn't love Robert just because of the checks he wrote.
Or the Diet Cokes he brought for some of us.
Yes, but, you know, he was our nurse on staff, and he had, of course, a different view on queer life. That's why I really like the roundtable, because we get all of the After Hours crew in here, and we've got from teens to late 50s and all kinds of different takes on what's going on in the world from a queer perspective.
And that's what we try and provide on this show,
sure,
is different voices, different angles, you know. And the important part is we know...
We even have straight people here.
Yeah. But the fact is we know that the people out there listening to us... You know, even though we talk, you know, this is the bisexual segment, or, you know, next week we've got the transgendered segment, hopefully. whatever we have,
what?
Point that finger at me, unless you got something to use it with.
Kristen will be here.
But even though we have the segments, we know there's people out there who are listening to this show and getting information.
You bet.
Whether it's, you know, just someone at work listening in. Whether it's a teenager at home with the headphones on.
Or an MBB just waiting anxiously to hear Gigi's laugh.
And so what we're going to do is just say one last time, 713-526-5738. And we'll let Gigi have it.
Ooh.
For another...
Well, let's give it to Gigi.
All right. Sorry, I'm getting my foot out of my mouth. And we'll leave Gigi alone for about 7 minutes, and I got to come in and do my one breath spiel.
Yes.
And then take it back over to there. So it's all yours.
Well, thanks. Tonight I wanted to talk a little bit about this referendum coming up on marriage and what it. And kind of see where it goes from there. But, you know, we've got this referendum coming up that's against gays getting married and wants to put a stop to it. And, you know, it's so hate-driven. It's really... There's no need for this. And so if you, you know, go out and vote. Vote this thing down. Basically, you know, when two people love each other, it doesn't matter if they're gay, straight, bi, whatever. Isn't love love? You know, why do we need to put a stop to it? But I've got Robin and David here.
Hello.
Hello.
And what do y'all think about this? Have you talked...
Me and Robin Ray haven't talked about it, but, you know, thinking my take on the whole subject, you know, why, you know, because they're supposed to be bi. I was saying, by basic nature, it kind of favors the straight side, so I'm more likely to marry a woman than a man.
Yeah.
Yet, at the same time, it's sort of like, so what? I mean, what are you afraid of?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people
one of the things I find kind of interesting about this whole thing is that, well, I've been getting these automatic calls for weeks now saying, oh, vote for it or vote against it. And some of the conservatives, someone put out a thing about how the thing wasn't written quite legally right and that this would jeopardize all marriage. And so I'd had half the conservatives calling saying, don't vote for it, and the other half saying, do vote for it, and the whole thing's such a big mess.
I get an idea that it's not that they don't like gay people or something, it's which they don't like gay people. But another thing is the insurance policy that you get when you're married, when you don't get, when you're not married. Like, say, for instance, I married David. And I automatically, he got insurance policy at his job, I automatically get on his insurance.
Yeah.
And I think that might be part of the reason.
Well, marriage comes with certain legal protections. It's not just insurance. It's visitation rights if your partner becomes ill. It's a whole slew of things. Inheritance rights, even. Unless you have a real good, strong will, a family can move in, and just if you're not legally married, you're kind of left standing without anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's really a question about protections and equal rights for everyone. You know, it's like,
I don't know if they want to make it hard to be gay and lesbian or by doing that. Because they think it's immorally wrong.
Well,
so what's just making it hard for them to not have the same rights as we do since they're sinning anyway?
Yeah. You know? And then the other thing I see is that, oh, if we let gays get married, it's going to destroy marriage for the heterosexuals. And it's like...
a few years ago, I was downtown at the George Brown Convention Center. This kind of a mall train flea market that they have there every now and then, and that was upstairs. I was going up the escalator at the same time. Excuse me. They had a wedding bridal show going on downstairs.
Yeah,
and that thing basically took up the whole ground floor. And I'm right up the escalator, look at this, and just realizing somehow the high divorce rate has not put a crimp in the wet marriage business.
Oh, no.
So.
And then the idea you got some gays and some lesbians that are actually living together for like 15, 20, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually doing a lot better than most straight couples.
Yeah.
So, what's the difference with them signing a paper? Is they just get more security with their relationship than just being together and there's no security.
Well, and from the bi perspective, you know, what if you want to marry two people? What if you're in a lot? I know some bisexuals that have three-way marriages, and these have been ongoing for many, many years, 20-plus years.
Kind of like a polyamory like thing.
Polyamorous marriage. Basically, two of them are legally married, and then the third partner's got to be the first father of the child.
Right.
Two men and a woman, and basically that's the way they kind of agreed to it. But basically, why shouldn't we have different options?
All right.
With marriage, if people want to, and they were living in kind of a polyfidelitous relationship, they were exclusive with each other.
Wasn't it like that before this Christianity thing came about, or
ancient days?
Was it more open?
It was much more open.
The Christian thing kind of came along and just put rules on everything.
Yeah, well, modern day marriage is kind of a, if you look at the history of it. Up until about the Victorian era, marriage was arranged.
Yeah.
Prearranged.
Right.
And you didn't fall in love with someone. You were kind of coupled up with somebody, whether you liked it or not. You just had to live with it. And that was true for many, many years. up until the Victorian era. And during the Victorian era, they were modern day concept of romance and marriage came from is from Queen Elizabeth's court, and it started out as a game in court. Nobles would get bored. They didn't like, you know, because they were their marriage was prearranged. They did their duty, and then they wanted real love, you know, someone that they could really love. And so they started this game, and that's where we get the word courtship and courting and a lot of the terms we associate with pre-marriage.
Right.
Dating.
Kind of don't remember all the details, but I remember, you know, there's a man named Joseph Campbell, who's a mythologist.
Yeah.
The study of myths and comparative mythology, various traditions and cultures. And probably getting close to 20 years ago, he did a series of interviews with Bill Moyer on the power of myth, and at least one of the programs was built on around the idea of the notion of love and how that has changed over time. And
mm-hmm.
It had the troubadours going into the court and singing about this sort of this idealized romantic love. And of course, people there listening to it say, "Hey, tell me more about that." Sounds interesting.
Yeah, and so, you know, we get into this era now where marriage is this kind of what started out as a game in a court became something that's somehow tied into religion very right. deeply. You know, it's kind of interesting to me that you could take something that started out as a game and as a way for nobles and for the higher class to play around a little bit and make their lives a little more exciting, and turn it into something that's become this institution that we have to preserve for heterosexuals.
I find it amazing, like this one friend of mine, an ex-boyfriend, he was, I broke up with him part of this reason is because he was so religious.
Mm-hmm.
He just couldn't accept me the way I am, so I just kind of broke it off. But me and David been dating almost a year. And he didn't got married, met this girl in like in months and married her right away. And he was like, "Well, when y'all gonna get married?" I said, "Well, we just letting see what happens, and we get married.
Yeah.
And he said, well, you know, you're living in sin and stuff if you don't get married right away and da da da. And I'm going, well, that's your opinion. To me, I'm not living in sin.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of interesting if you look further back before patriarchy moved in. When we lived in a more matriarchal society, wealth didn't pass from father to son.
Right.
It passed from mother to daughter.
Yeah.
And back then, monogamy wasn't a big issue. You can always tell who the mother is. When monogamy became such a big issue was when wealth started passing from father to son. And then it became all important. And I'm getting a cue.
You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener sponsor, commercial free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT 90.1 FM, Houston 89.5 Galveston, and always on the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Ah, boy, that was quick.
Especially since I've been having trouble with my asthma lately. I can't believe I got that out. This is After Hours, as you may have heard during that. It's Pledge Drive, 713-526-5738. We now return to regular schedule programming, already in progress.
And yes, do pledge. Yeah. Keep us on the air. If you like shows like this. But do get out and vote against this horrible thing. We need to take a look at what we value.
Right.
But anyway, let's talk some more about marriage, where it came from. In ancient days, like we were saying, wealth passed from mother to daughter. And so we believed that, monogamy wasn't such a big issue. it was later on when wealth started passing from father to son, and you couldn't always tell who the father was, that monogamy became all important, and thus marriage became important.
I find it amazing how now it's sinning if you're not married to somebody to have any type of sex or relationship with anybody.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we do have a lot of religion tied into marriage. That wasn't always the case either in the ancient days. Marriage was really more about making love to someone.
Right.
And having a relationship with someone. And when it, you know, in the pagan community, there was this, what they call it is hand fasting. When you fall in love with someone, you're hand fasted. And then when that relationship ends, you go through a hand parting. And people would go from relationship to relationship.
Right.
And it wasn't necessarily monogamous, even when you're hand fasted.
Right.
It was quite much more open.
Well, something I heard the minister at my church talk about once, and I'll just, you know, the church I go to is definitely open-minded when it comes
very
to something like this.
Yeah.
I think we, as an organization, actually do endorse same-sex relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll let go of that as far as what we do. But the idea he was giving us, as far as talk, is talking about something about, say, 1,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago, give or take,
yeah,
100 years, the custom was that when a couple decided to get married, they really did not have a formal ceremony. At least, I guess, you know, say, you know, medieval Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And then sort of like somewhere, you know, may a couple say, hey, let's go to the village priest and have them do something to bless this, to, you know, kind of sanctify it. And several people started doing that, and the priest got to think about, you know, something, we probably could make some money doing this. Yeah.
Well, actually, depending on what era you look at, a lot of times when marriages were arranged, it was arranged to preserve the class system.
Yeah.
You couldn't marry outside of your class.
Right.
And basically that kind of started going really bad, especially when you had a high class. It was a very small group of people, and all of a sudden you ran out of potentials that weren't blood related.
You had to worry about getting a blue blood disease.
Yeah. And so what was happening was relatives were marrying one another to preserve this class system.
Right.
So in time, when you start building in this kind of criteria, it can kind of backfire.
Right.
But anyway, I'd like to go to a music break for a minute, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about marriage and about some of the more bi-specific aspects of marriage.
All right. And let's go to a little Daniel Link. And see Jimmy queued up. I don't know. They don't put the numbers on here. Here's the song. Let's fly.
Hey! What are you trying to do? You ruined my record, man. I just bought it.
On the surface, I seemed like a pretty nice guy. Generally accommodating, you know. Say nice to meet you, even a complete asshole. Because it's always good to get the benefit of the doubt, because even assholes have bad days, I guess. Sometimes I'm like a bowl of Rice Krispies, you know, snap, crackle, pop. In the end, I'm just, I don't know, a little soggy, I guess. It's good to have a piece of toast, slightly burnt, on the side. Speaking of toast, there's nothing like a good party to lighten things up a bit. A couple of shots eases moves, relieves stress, promotes flexibility. I don't drink anymore. I drink a lot of coffee, though. It keeps me alert, on top, focused, centered, involved, awake, aware, open, thinking, talking, regular buzz. Hyperactive, interactive, stimulated, isolated, yet integrated, agitated, stressed, fried. Maybe it's the sugar. My friend
friend Michael doesn't ingest sugar. He plays flute. Oh, there he is. Hey, Michael. Our friends Donnie and Vicky are vegetarians, so when all of us get together for dinner, there's no meat and sugarless dessert. Oh, and no alcohol. I don't drink anymore. Anyway, it's a lot of fun. You see what I mean about flexibility. We talk about the divine nature of the universe, creativity, music, art, black bean enchiladas, lack of turkey, both baked and wild. We're all so very now, so very zen, so politically correct. Though we don't talk about politics, I'm rambling. Like I said, I'm a pretty nice guy. As long as I'm big on small talk and small on big ideas, and get along with practically anyone. It's the difference between talking nice and saying what you mean. Try it at home. That's where it really pays off. I'm usually not this cynical, but it's 4:20 a.m. mid-November. I'm drinking coffee, and coffee gets me aware. The antidote to all of life's problems is gratitude. And I'm grateful for my friends, my family, my music, and my health. My cat is now chewing on the edge of his paper. Better hand me my words than me. And I'm grateful there are people who really understand and want peace in this world. And I'm grateful it's 4:21 a.m. so I can watch the sunrise. Oh, it's cloudy. Looks like rain. Better still, because I'm even more grateful for the rain.
I do, because the public won't acknowledge my love for you. They ain't slanging no checks from under this roof right here. You don't hear me though, I promise you to do the best I can. I'm on both knees asking you to be your man. I'm talking wedding dance, diamond rings and things that link. A ceremony held that it goes to a long wedding. Cause I know it too. One really wanna live my life too. Writing relative to us will object to a union and invitation. No matter, as long as we got the rings and best man, true family and good friends. Oh yeah, and one more correction: you won't be my lover anymore. You'll be my husband or wife.
I know it's the
one I wanna give my life to.
The one I wanna give my life to.
Yeah, I do.
So please say. Constitution, baby, won't you marry?
What was that?
That was Tori Fix, Marry Me.
Yeah. Yeah, that is such a good song.
I just think it kind of inappropriate.
That, he is...
With Gigi's topic of the day.
He really is a talented young man and not really appreciated in queer circles.
To find out more about Tori Fix, you go on the World Wide Web to TORIFIXX.com.
Yes.
Before that was Daniel Link with 4 a.m. Slam Over Coffee.
What?
4 a.m. Slam Over Coffee.
Oh, I meant to play. That's not what I wanted to play.
One, two, three, four. You put in 9.
Oops, I meant 10 then.
Oops.
Bruce Wayne is what I wanted to play.
Well, no, you...
No wonder. Okay, we'll play Bruce Wayne later in the show.
And we started off the show because we forgot to tell you...
With... Oh, yes, we did. Oh, damn.
We forgot to tell you about Shiting.
Well, the name of the song was...
Well, let's go back again here. The song that you played, you want us to tell the same song that you played or the song you wanted to play?
I wanted to play The Curse, but it turned up to be number one, which is not a bad song.
Monde
either.
De Cuerpo.
Yes, and this is a group that we can tell you the name of the song, we can't tell you the name of the group. The name of the group is SH, put in your favorite vowel here, TTING, glitter.
We can say it in Scottish. I think you can say it in Scottish, because they get around that on, like, The Simpsons. Uh-huh. It's shiting.
Shiting?
Shiting glitter.
Oh, okay.
Or shiting.
Whatever. Anyway, you get the point. And certainly a queer band. They it's kind of hoppy. This is a three-song EP that they just put out, and they are putting out a full CD in the next couple of weeks, I believe it is. So,
and you can check them out at the World Wide Web at SHI.
Put in your favorite vowel.
Double GLITTER.
Yes. And this is not their first CD.
Nah.
By a long shot. So.
Yeah, it's nice.
Check that out. They have a nice discography. And they play a variety of types of music.
And one of these days, they'll come up with a cutesy way of us being able to say their name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well. But, you know, the phones are not ringing out in the lobby.
Oh, no.
I know.
We need some...
We must have some... Pledges.
Yeah. You know, where are you
713-526-5738. 713-JAM-KPFT.
And you know, we're sitting here, Gigi's talking about Prop 2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's surprising, you know, we got like there's actually 9 propositions out there. There's all you ever hear about is Prop 2.
I know.
Mm-hmm. And it's you know, it's an important thing, but it's another one of the things. We didn't start this.
No.
This one here.
We didn't start this fire.
Yeah. I'm not playing the Nancy Ford cover.
Okay.
But no, the fact is, you know, we're talking about the gay marriage, and you really have to look at it. This whole gay marriage revolution, it's done by straight people.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, the Massachusetts Supreme Court was about to say, hey, gay marriage, we need to put it into effect. And the mayor of San Francisco says, no, can't let Massachusetts be number one. We've got to do it first.
Yeah.
And so this whole battle, this whole swell has been coming up. And right now, what we're just being used for is smoke and mirrors, really.
Mm-hmm.
Prop 2... It's being used, you know, for basically a bunch of Bible thumpers to beat their chest and say, hey, we got one.
Yeah, because it's already against the law in Texas for anything other than a man and woman to marry.
And what they're trying to do is codify it, because that way they can say, when people say that it's unconstitutional because the full faith and credit clause of the U.S. Constitution, they'll say, but the Texas Constitution says it's constitutional.
But it's trumped.
Can we mention that the Texas Constitution is one of the most asinine documents in U.S. history?
No, the Texas Constitution has been... there's been 497 amendments to the Constitution.
What does that tell you?
We had to amend it to legalize ATM machines.
I think also another angle on this whole thing is that part of this, I think, is also in response to the... us finally winning on the sodomy laws.
Yeah.
And it legalized gay activities in the bedroom.
And so they have to find some way. It's a lot of issues, and you know,
it gets so tied up.
You hear a little snippet here, a little snippet there of what it is. And it's, you know, it's a heavy topic. Gigi will get more into it, we'll get into it more. But it's one of the things, it's one of the topics we've been talking about for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People have been wanting to talk about, you know, with gay marriage, with gay rights, you know. We got to talk to somebody a couple years, a year and a half ago, who actually had one of the San Francisco marriage certificates.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of topics for our community that, you know, gets lip service on mainstream radio and, you know, he gets a lot of attention, you know, on some of the more right-wing stations of,
well, it's, we can't let gays get married. Somebody find my pill bottle. we can't let them get married. They don't deserve privacy, but I do because my prescriptions are sacred. The gospel according to
whoever.
Saint Merck.
We'll call him Curry.
But
you're tying this into pledging,
I'm fact,
sure.
Yeah, I'm getting around to it, you know. Remember, this station is all about beating a ballot bush. The fact is, the programming that we do on this show, on all the shows, it's important to some aspect of this community.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. If, you know, whether you agree with, I mean, if you agree with everything you hear on this station,
you're weird.
Yeah.
You know. Because we have shows
especially
that contradict each other all the time.
This I mean, you're talking about the station that put on a Palestinian show right in front of an Israeli show.
Yeah, you know, hey.
Well, I would like to bring up, you know, but this whole concept of freedom.
Yeah.
And that's what you get on KPFT, is freedom of a right to speak.
But it's not free.
Yeah.
But freedom it's not is free. Not free. No.
Shh, that's a very conservative phrase.
Sorry. We have to pay the bills. Yeah. We have bills that come in. We have a fabulous news department now that is expanding all the time, bringing you much more than just local stuff.
Yeah, and contrary to this other FM station that does new, quote-unquote news and talk, who has the largest news staff on FM radio.
Whatever.
Okay, you know, our people are here in Houston.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We don't use a canned AP reporter.
No.
To tell you. You know, we don't have someone who's sitting, the canned reporter over in Austin. These are, it's all volunteer what you hear, you know.
Yeah.
You don't hear many paid personalities on KPFT. And every cent that you give to the show, give to the station, goes into keeping this thing running. We may have a communal feel, but, you know, sometimes you got to chip in to pay the electricity.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, to pay the water.
And I would like to add, too, that, you know, I come in as a volunteer, Ms. TG here. All of us do.
Sure.
You know, we don't get paid a salary. Like other radio stations pay all their staff.
You've been doing the show for how long?
Oh, going on...
at least 12 years.
12 years.
Yes. And the show is over 18 years old.
Yeah. But it takes support from our listeners to keep this show going.
That's right.
And where else are you going to hear some of the different views and learn about alternative sexuality and alternative forms of loving one another?
That's right.
You're not going to hear it out on other stations.
How many other stations has a leather segment? None. Hello. How many other stations has a bisexual segment? None.
Who taught you how to restore foreskin on After Hours?
You won't hear that anywhere else. That's what we bring. The stuff that you don't hear anywhere else, and that's why you tune in. Because whether you're tuning in, even if you, the educational part is entertaining for you, or shocking, or
you just like to hear us say foreskin.
Yeah. Hey,
you get the
Nade Radio.
Yeah, you get to hear the queer music too that you don't hear nowhere else. Other stations won't allow to play because it doesn't follow the
the
little list that they have to play.
You're only going to hear it on this station, on this show, and on Queer Voices with J.D. Doyle's deft hand at music, because he is the queer music guru of the world.
Oh, yes.
Hello, right when we've got him right here in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So, we deserve your support for the kind of programming we bring to you each week. Sometimes it seems like it's thrown together, but believe me, we have thought it up. We work hard to make it look that way.
Yeah, who's going to be up all the way up to 4 o'clock in the morning doing this for free?
I would like to add something, too.
Do you have a little bit of Jewish in you there? You know what that is? Hello?
Well, let's see. My lover of 27 years, Stan, is Jewish.
Wow, that's where you get it from.
So, yeah, I get a little Jewish in me every now and then.
You sort of got the nose. It's not really.
Hey.
I would like to add one thing, Jimmy.
Yes.
We're on radio. Can you hear about alternative lifestyles and legitimize human relationships no matter what form they take?
From the people who are part of that lifestyle.
Yes.
You're used to hearing about queer issues from straight people.
Hey. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially that guy Leviticus. He's a real dude. His potty training must have been horrible for how badly he talks about it.
But this is a show for queer people and their friends.
Mm-hmm. In the straight and not narrow.
Yeah, and we've got them right here.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting right next to me, as a matter of fact. Yep, yep. So,
the phone number is 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT. We only do this every once in a while, you know. We've got. If you want a gift for doing it, we've got gifts.
We have gifts. Yeah,
we don't have the big ugly tote bag. We don't have that. You know, we're not, you know, and one thing about our show is we don't bring out the good stuff. You know, on television when it comes time for a pledge drive, that's what you look through the TV schedule and you go, oh, this band's in concert? They're still alive?
Yeah.
Yeah. We take care of our oldies programming before our show.
Yeah. But we do the same quality programming every week. Mm-hmm. We don't drag out, you know, some spectacular programming that we've done that we did 6 months ago just to titillate you.
And pledging is easy. It's somewhat painless.
Oh.
You can put it on plastic. You can go many different routes.
It only takes 90.1 seconds to do that.
You can do it online. You can do it, call in.
You can come by and drop it off.
That's right. Come by and meet the crew.
Yes.
419 Lovett Boulevard. We'd be glad to see you.
Hell, that's how I got started in here. I dropped off a $20 pledge one time.
And I slapped his ass on the mic, so to speak.
Yeah, and come by.
Actually, I turned him around and pointed it at his mouth.
Anyway,
bring this GT a pledge.
What the hell are you waiting for?
713-526-5738. If you want to do an online pledge, it's at www.kpft.org.
Mm-hmm. I still don't hear phones ringing.
I know it.
You want to swing it by here? It's 419 Lovett, deep in the throbbing heart of Montrose.
Yeah, let's get some ringing over here.
We
listen
need
to
it.
My ears.
We need it, and we deserve it.
We are the last radio bastion on Radio Road.
That's right. We deserve your support.
So, let's give it back to Gigi.
Yes.
Hopefully, someone will call in.
Yes. Back to marriage. You know, for me as a bisexual, you know, while marriage is important, it's not something I'm that focused on in my daily life. It's like I'm really more into living my life freely. But marriage does offer protections. It offers us the rights to visit our partner when they get sick in the hospital. It gives us the right to choose, make many decisions as a couple. Yet there's a large number of people that don't have those protections. And, you know, it's kind of interesting, but even if this proposition doesn't pass, what's, to me, interesting is that it doesn't give gays the right to marriage. What it's trying to do is ensure that gays don't ever have the right to marriage.
Mm-hmm. It's been my own observation, Eve, that, you know, by chance this thing passes, I don't think that's got to stop gay couples from having relationships.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's not going to stop.
Yeah.
Again, we're dealing with, you know, the legalities of having the legalities to back up the relationship in case there is some concerns like, you know, a visitation in a hospital or some issue around property.
Well, maybe the person needs to have surgery and I need somebody to sign it.
Well, I think in a
co-sign or whatever.
Funny sort of way, like the sodomy laws. The sodomy laws were on the books, never really, hardly ever enforced.
Right.
But it was a way to point a finger and say, well, that's illegal. and to remove the legitimacy of two people having a relationship.
Right.
Because they happen to be of the same gender. And for me, you know, it's like, I would love to be able to have a three-way marriage. Now, I don't ever expect to see that happen. But I do have three-way relationships, and I do have relationships that are very dynamic, and, you know, I run a sacred sex temple.
I like that me and David's relationship is where, you know, David goes to a nudist group sometimes, and he may have a little fun there, and, you know, I may go to an old female group or something like that, and, you know, he'll call me up and say, hey, Robin, I'm going to go to this nudist group, and something may happen. Is it okay? You know, yeah, sure, it's okay. You know? But it's an openness that, honestly, with a lot of straight couples, when they get married and they have this one-on-one, and they're not open, and they one-on-one when having a mess around, and they're not open about it, so they sneak around, and then it causes a real big conflict where instead of going up to the spouse and saying, hey, I've been wanting to with this person, is it okay, we can talk about it or whatever.
Yeah. And one thing I'd like to add too is that the relationship me and my primary partner have, there is a commitment. And we base our relationship on trust and love and all the other things that most relationships are based on. The one element that we chose not to base our relationship on was where our genitals go.
Right.
And who we share our bodies with.
Okay. I'll throw these couple of comments. Something I found myself thinking about late recently, about what I perceive in the, you know, generally speaking, what the Christianity we kind of gets promoted, and this can be the case with other religious traditions versus, say, what the religious organization I am involved with, plus other things I'm involved with, seems to have to do with basically who's responsible, taking responsibility for your own life.
Mm-hmm.
What I try to practice. Basically, involves me. Hey, I'm responsible for my life. It basically comes down what, you know, to me, even a relationship with the creative principle of the universe is still, well, what about me? You know, I still got a lot of say in the matter.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when I pick up, you know, say Christianity in general, at least the more fundamentalist forms, and this could be the case with other traditions, that And so like, oh, you know, accept Jesus as your Savior, and basically you're off the hook. You're not responsible for anything.
Right.
Just follow the rules, everything will be fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, step out of the, you know, here's your safety. Here, walk the straight and narrow, you'll be safe.
And I think that's where I'm coming from, in part, is that, you know, we have a lot of different relationship models, and all of them are valid options.
Right.
All of them are legitimate. And the ways humans love one another.
Right.
But if we look at one religion, the main religion of this country, Christianity, it says no, not only one form of relationship is legitimate. But what if you're not Christian? I'm not Christian.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't believe that. That's not part of my faith or my belief system. And so, a big part for me is that I believe that when two people love each other, you are reaching a higher consciousness.
Right.
And a higher form of self. This kind of goddess, God consciousness. As we reach ecstasy in our lovemaking, we blossom and become more than just ourselves. And I think it's also, you know, we talked, I was talking earlier outside, and we were talking about just this whole idea of what is it that attracts me to another person?
Right.
What is that magic that happens? It's not just about what's between someone's legs. It's not just about physical beauty. There's a lot of qualities that go into attraction, that go into that magic that draws us together into a relationship.
Right.
And in some ways, I kind of feel like our whole way of looking at sexuality, kind of putting it into the boxes of heterosexual, homosexual, or bisexual, is a little bit of a myth, a little bit of a misnomer. I think all of us have the potential to love another human being that goes beyond just physical form.
Right.
It gets into the spiritual form.
Yeah. Well, it's like when I, you know, I don't think about, you know, why I choose to call myself bi. If, you know, from my experience, just everyday being, yeah, I'm attracted to women. I, you know, a straight guy, but I have this knowing from experience that says, you know something? That guy, give him a chance, yeah, I would go do it with that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he may not necessarily fit to, you know, be a swimsuit model, but it's just this knowing that says, if the opportunity, yeah, this woman over here is very attractive, but if the opportunity presented to go do it with that guy there, yes, I would. And I may even go seek it out. So,
and, you know, I kind of come to this, you know, I look back to the ancient societies a lot of times for a little guidance. And in the ancient societies, well, ancient Greece, you know, they had this word where we get the word animate from. Mm. That part of us that makes us alive, that spark of life. Does that spark really have a gender? That's a big question.
All right.
I tend
not that I can tell.
I don't think so.
And when we really connect with another human being, are we not connecting our sparks?
Right.
So in some ways, I see it as a transcendental kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That we can become a lot deeper than just, oh, that's a boy or that's a girl. And even boy and girl isn't an easy definition.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, well, if I heard me about where we picked it up, I can think, remember, say, when I was a child, especially age 3 or 4, being able to say, yes, I am a boy, was very important.
And that's, you know, the first question asked when a baby's born.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a boy or a girl? Right.
But as an adult, I can be much more open and be aware of my feminine qualities.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, when I was 3 years old, if you called me a girl, yeah, you What do you mean by that?
And that's one of the things I love about the bi community. We can get into gender bending, and sometimes I can be the girl, and my girlfriend can be the boy, and we can kind of play and gender bend and explore and really discover a whole new side of ourselves.
I remember growing up having to deal with them wanting to fend me up all the time, and I'm always dressing butch. And what my sister had passed away about maybe 5 months ago or so, and they was coming to pick me up for the funeral. And what happened was he opens the door, and I dress all up because my family was basically having a fit with me dressing butch. So
I stop at her apartment to pick her up, go to the funeral, and she opens the door. And you know, so I look at her and think, was that the sister person I knew last weekend?
It's like, I don't know if I can afford you now.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we've got some more people joining us in the studio tonight, and I'd like to get a little fairy perspective on this whole marriage concept.
Well, I've always thought, have the relationship you want.
Uh-huh.
If that also includes commitment vows, blessed be.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, well, enjoy everything you want.
Ah.
You know, so I just don't like other people telling other people how and why and what for that they should conduct their relationships.
Oh, yes.
So you know, I guess I'm kind of an anarchist in that sense.
Yeah, I don't think that the government has a right in our bedrooms.
No.
Well, I'm the straight guy. I'm straight. But, you know, I don't see a reason, you know? If that's what you want, that's what you can have. That's how I believe it. You know, the Constitution says you have the freedom to do anything pretty much you want besides break a law. And the Constitution doesn't say anything about gay marriage. But now, it's just... For me, personally, if my brother, who's gay, wants to get married, trust me, I'll be there. I'll be his best man. I'll watch the whole thing happen.
Well, I read an excellent article in The Guide last night.
Yeah.
And they were talking... It was some guy who was pretty radical, and he was saying, okay, I'm questioning, foremost, why married people should have more rights than single people. Why are they so much more... Why are they more proved of in some way? Why did they get the stamp of, like, you're doing the right thing? I mean, you know, it's...
I think you touched on something, and I want to come back to you in a minute on the freedom thing. You know, our whole society is sort of based on couples.
Mm-hmm.
I know my partner sometimes likes to go to the movies alone, and people will see her sitting alone and think, oh, you poor thing, where's your your other, you know? Well, you should have your other here with you.
Yes.
And well, so we have this kind of society, social conditioning kind of pushing for people to be coupled up all the time.
Right. And the thing is, like in straight society, you know, my mom's a widow. And luckily her friends aren't so much like that. But they're really, in the past, and maybe continuing, is a thing of like, you're all among couples. One of you dies, and you're no longer invited to the parties.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be reminded, or whatever. But that's the thing is, you sort of then join a widow's club.
Yeah.
And there's something very strange about that to me. So, yeah.
Something I done a long time ago, back when I was in my early 20s, that what I did is I went to this Clear Lake Methodist Church. And believe it or not, they had these classes called Dazed and Confused. It teaches you how to have an intimate relationship with yourself. And getting married is not exactly the... If you don't want to get married ever, you can always have a relationship with yourself and love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're just as important as being single as you'll be. Because a lot of people, when they're single, they beat themselves up. I ain't married yet. There's something wrong with me and all that stuff.
Yeah, nobody believes in love more than I do. You know, and love yourself. And if two people truly, truly love each other and want to be together, they're going to find a way to be together. You know, and yeah, like I said, if they want commitment in some form, wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd like to get back to what our straight guys brought up.
Yeah.
Freedom. And, you know, this always bothered me growing up. You know, I kind of wondered, you know, we're free, we're supposed to be creative and expressive and free in this country on everything except sexuality and sexual expression. And then it becomes this narrow parameter that you have to follow, you know, girl meets boy, falls in love, gets happily married and has 2.5 kids and the white picket fence and the whole nine yards and live happily ever after.
Or pretend to.
Or pretend to. And, you know, to me, that's just a formula for, like, crimping creativity, crimping our, you know, just bringing a halt to really full expression, full human sexual expression between consenting adults.
We're robots. Plain and simple. That's what we've been trained to do. It's like we almost get a handbook when we're born. This is what you're supposed to do.
Well, most people have a part of themselves, not just gay issues, but everybody, most people as they're growing up, as they're maturing, they have some part of them they don't want to deal with. They don't want to look at that inspires a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, panic, whatever. And I think a lot of those constraints grow up out of, like, I'm terrified of this in myself, and I'm definitely terrified of that in you, and everybody has all these things, so everybody just sort of goes, okay, we're all just going to not talk about it and pretend. Mm-hmm. And that whole process of really growing up and finding, you know, staying childlike instead of just being childish and selfish and controlling, you know, you start loving yourself, start being friendly to yourself, you start being friendly to other people, and wanting to see people to just really be their own sort of beautiful self, whatever that is.
I don't want to change the subject, but another subject I could bring up is, like, gay, straight relationships, like friendships.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the hardest things to do, because most straight people have the problem with being self-conscious about themselves, being seen by other people as being gay. You know, what's the big deal about it? You know, you hang around gay. Actually, I have no straight friends.
I've been saying that for like 15, 20 years.
Who?
Alex?
Well, there you go.
She's bisexual.
Oh, well, there you go.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know too much about Kenny.
Kenny's
either.
Gay.
But I've always had lots of straight friends, and for a long, long time, I said, you know, I just don't act like it's a big deal, and they don't act like it's a big deal, and it's never been a problem.
I do have to tell a funny story, though. My girlfriend had an ex-lover come to town a while back, straight guy, and we took him to the Westheimer Art Festival. This was years ago when it was still on Westheimer. And then after that, he said, well, I've never been to a gay bar, so we took him to a gay bar.
Mm-hmm.
And we went in, and we had a good time, and got a drink or two, and then headed out. And as we left, Jay said, well, what'd you think about the gay bar? And he says, well, at first I was a little nervous, but then I was disappointed. Nobody hit up on me. And so I didn't know what was wrong. I thought they were supposed to hit up on me. I'm a straight boy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, and then I asked, well, did you feel safe? And he says, oh, yeah, I felt totally safe. I figured if anything happened, I could just go in the men's bathroom.
If you do, don't be no. Although he might have been headed in the right direction and just didn't quite realize it.
But I bring that up because, you know, it's amazing. When we get so into these stereotypes and get so locked into definitions, it's like it puts blinders on us.
Yeah, and rather than play with the stereotypes, mix and match and just have fun with the stereotypes rather than being so life or death serious about them, you know.
I had an ex-boyfriend. He freaked out on me. Every straight friend I had, they dropping off as years go by. But, I mean, I was like, hey, I'm going to a BINET meeting. And he go, what? A what meeting? I said, a BINET meeting. And we got into a big shouting match. If you're going to be going out with me and if you're going to be marrying me in the future, you can't be going hanging out with all these people, these gay people. And I'm like, I don't know who gave you the... I don't know if it's because I'm dating you or you married. Why you think that... Mm-hmm. Why do when people marry, they think that all of a sudden you got to follow their rules? It's like... Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's
especially
like,
men.
That is so ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Well, women too.
Yeah, depends on... I mean, I think mm-hmm. it's... Well, I hate to generalize because there's some men that are, I've had this argument many times. There's some men that act more like women and some women that act more like men as our social conditioning is supposed to be.
I am 30. At the time, I was 32. I was like, the last I remember, the only person that told me what to do was my mother and my dad, and that was when I was about 18, and that was about how many years ago? And you got to come in here and tell me who not to talk to and stop to?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you were saying about the thing about, I've known quite a number of people that the guy or the woman they were dating was just so kind and nice to them and just very open about what happened, mm-hmm. how life went. The minute those vows were said, all of a sudden, okay, well, now that we're married, these are the rules, and you will do this, and you won't do that, and you will do this, and you won't do that. It's not even a whip. It's just... It's dull and awful and abusive.
Well, it even starts earlier. I remember
marriages don't last.
Kid, mm-hmm. One of my best friends was a Tom girl, mm-hmm. and I was a girl Jane. Mm-hmm. instead of a, but anyway.
I'm about to get married September 12th of next year, and before we got together, we actually sat down and we talked to each other for almost 2 years before we got together, and right before we actually, said, hey, we're getting together, we're boyfriend, girlfriend, we actually discussed what our guidelines
are.
There
it is.
What we like, what we don't like.
Communication.
And we communicated, mm-hmm. and now, we've just passed our 1 year anniversary. We're actually set a date to get married. And we have our fights because sometimes some of the guidelines that we set and we agreed on, they step on them. We fight about it. We get over it. We go on our days.
And that's love.
Relationship.
And that's love. You work it out. You learn from each other. You teach each other. You bring each other along.
See, I'd like to
rather than suppress each other.
The parents of the younger crowd, like my age, 20, doesn't explain to them that before you step into a relationship, maybe y'all should discuss what y'all should do in a relationship before y'all get into it. See, my dad actually, discussed a lot with me about relationships before I even started dating.
Good for him.
I'd like to get into a sci-fi mode for a minute and say, what if we lived in an alternative universe where gay marriage was the norm and heterosexual marriage wasn't allowed? How would you react to that?
I would fight till I was dead.
I wouldn't like it either, because I would be actually wanting these straight people to have a good love relationship like everybody else.
If we were an alternative universe, I believe the way gay people are and the way they act and the way they're very friendly, that they would have done amended and let straight people have marriage a long time ago.
But what? And if you were, why can't there be a marriage of three people?
Exactly.
Or
four.
Or whatever. keeping track of more than three or four would get kind of good.
And then if they do have that, why can't a woman marry five or six guys if she wanted to? Why'd always got to be a guy marrying five or six girls?
Oh, yeah.
Well, actually, I know.
I don't see why we have to go down to a courthouse and get papers to say we're married. Mm-hmm. I don't see why.
Because of the favoritism towards married couples.
Period. End of discussion. That's my wife.
There's a prejudice towards married couples.
There's a lot of legal ramifications that come into any relationship, and this came up during the AIDS crisis. Sometimes a partner in a gay relationship would become sick and have to go into the hospital.
And that is a good reason.
And all of a sudden, the family moved in and said, even though you've been with this partner for 15 years, you can't see him.
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed to see him.
Or if you're not legally married, they'll take everything.
Exactly.
Because maybe the parents may not agree on the gay relationship.
And so what marriage does is it offers protection.
And again,
I'm not big on marriage.
And again, a lot of times so much is not talked about. There will be two women who have lived together their whole life, and it's never been talked about outside of the two of them, of what the relationship is. And then one is left with absolutely nothing if the family comes in, decides just to take it all away.
Yeah, like
situations like that.
Like you may have a home together, you share a home together, but because you guys are not married, you, and when the other person dies, it has the home in their name, the family ends up getting it, or somebody.
It seems like it's always
stuck out like Chuck.
It seems like it's always about where does the communication break down. Wherever the communication breaks down, there's a problem, generally speaking.
I think the best way to take care of that problem is make everything joint. Y'all buy the house together, put it in both y'all's names. Y'all pay the bills together.
It's not always possible.
It's not always possible.
Let me throw this at you. What about insurance? One of you is working, the other's not. All of a sudden, if you're not legally married, you don't, you get left out in the cold. So you don't get the benefits.
Yeah, what if you get sick and you and your wife's, or you married a guy and you get sick, you don't get any health benefits. So it's going to cost your own leg, or you might not even get the medical treatment that you need in the first place.
Well, see, the thing is, when you do insurance, like when you do file for insurance, you can put somebody, doesn't matter who it is.
Things have gotten slightly better,
but
it's only recently, and it's not good enough.
It's not good enough. And it doesn't give equal rights to all. It makes one group of citizens second-class citizens.
It's the same thing with the African-Americans 50 years ago, you know. It's just, they just want to discriminate against one group to another because they have this superiority complex with, oh, they sinning and they're doing wrong and they're immoral, so they don't deserve any rights.
They're like cyborg,
they not up there with us. You know, we're special.
And so, we really got into it here.
One more thing I'd like to throw out. I used to have this fantasy, which you reminded me of, when talking about sci-fi. I always had this fantasy that wouldn't it be wonderful if you could just sort of press your nose and organs would go in or come out, and you could sort of be whoever you wanted to be on that night with whoever else you wanted to be, and they could be who they wanted to be. It could just be, you know, push your nose and, you know, all of a sudden you're whatever couple you want to be that night. Of whatever sexes.
Well, I did bring up earlier in the show, I know bisexual triplet. Basically, two guys, they formed a relationship, were in it for 10 years, very committed, and they both were bi. And they decided, well, if the right woman comes along.
How beautiful.
And so they finally met him. After being together 10 years, they brought her into the relationship. One of them got legally married to her, and the other was given the option of having the first child with her. And then the second one had a child with her. And they've been together for over 25 years.
You know, there was a couple I knew in San Francisco. I had originally met the girl when I was in art school on the East Coast. And then she turned up in California, in San Francisco. And she was in a relationship. She had been in a relationship with this guy where he and his best friend would totally loved each other. But they didn't have sex. And they both kind of hustled. And every now and then they'd beat the hell out of each other. You know? And that was the way they expressed their love. Well, she and her taste had evolved, and now she was living with these two men who were like right out of Abercrombie Finch kind of catalog. It was like 77. And they had this really incredible relationship, the two bisexual men and her. And they went off to live in Mexico, and I kind of lost track of them. But I always remember them, and I was so inspired that they had just found, she had, you know, gone from guys who punch each other to guys who love each other and still was satisfying her own taste for these bisexual men in this really healthy way.
Well, what was really interesting, one of them told me a story. One of their kids brought one of their friends over one day, and the kid's parents came to pick him up, and the kid introduced the family to their mother, and they said, well, this is my friend's daddy and his other daddy and his mommy. And the parents were a little bit on the fundy side. They grabbed the kid and never allowed him back into the house. But I thought, you know, that's so wonderful that the kid at least got a few minutes to see something really beautiful that works, that has been working.
I remember
It can.
I remember being a little kid and this one girl told me that she had two moms. I'm going, oh, cool. Because I like having one mom. Cool. I'm like, oh, wow, you're lucky.
Yeah, because, yeah, I mean, there's no one kind of relationship that is more likely to succeed than another. I've known relationships of all kinds that have succeeded. I've known relationships of all kinds that have failed. So, again, it goes back to communication and love.
Yes, and I think communication is so key in any relationship. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it was a year ago, I read something by the internet about a lesbian couple up in Canada. One of the women had a child, and they were applying for a license to say, yes, we are legally married, and they wanted to include the father, the man who was the father, in that, as a way of honoring that, hey, he is the father of my child.
Yeah.
You know, let's include him in this relationship. And again, you know, the guy, you know, had to write the license. Huh? What?
We do need to take a break for a minute. And
sure
I do need to remind people to call in and pledge.
Yes.
Yes.
We need to remind people also that they are listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, right here on good old KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, and 89.5 down in Galveston. Yes, we do need your pledges of support. That number is 713-526-5738. So far, we only have one pledge.
Oh, we did get one, then.
And it's from an MBB.
Oh, cool.
One of our Tigger sent in some stamps.
Oh, wow.
And you know what that means to someone behind bars.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is the way folks, our MBB folks, communicate with the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's incredible that we're getting pledges from folks behind bars.
Oh, I do too.
Because these are guys who
Thank
don't have
so
a whole lot of bucks
mm-hmm.
to send in. And so that is an incredible sacrifice. And I really appreciate it, Tigger.
And it tells me that our show is very important to men behind bars.
That's right. As well as Jaime, who wrote in this week, too.
Yeah.
Who loved the show last week. It was Hatch and the Leather Line.
Ah.
His two favorites. And both of them have been able to listen to the show here lately. They had some problems in the past, but they're now listening again. And I'm very, very happy that we are able to be heard behind those bars. And we're able to be heard in lots of other places, too,
right,
where people appreciate us, but they're not calling in
yes.
with that pledge of support. 713-526-5738.
If this radio station goes away, where else are you going to hear about stuff that other people tell you shouldn't even think about, much less talk about?
Exactly.
And a lot of times I think the one thing that's great about this show and the station is that, you know, everybody's life doesn't work at certain times. Where else are you going to hear a lot of ideas about how maybe your life could work? And again, things that people will normally tell you don't even think about.
That's right.
And there's no place else that you can get this, folks, not, you know, 24/7.
No, exactly. In fact, without this radio station, there is no voice for our MBBs.
Right.
At all.
I'd like to also add another challenge. Because
Please.
We are on the web,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to see who from the furthest distance could make a pledge. Because we're heard all over the world.
Oh, we've had pledges from different parts of the United States. We've had pledges from Hawaii.
Yeah.
So
if you're listening far from Houston, pledge. Give us a call.
You can do it online
with
PayPal.
If there's ever a night that you really were just at your wit's end and somehow listening to KPFT kind of pulled you through, you know?
And let us know where you're pledging from.
Yes, you bet. You bet. We want to know that. And especially we want to hear from you. We haven't heard from anybody in the Montrose.
I know.
We haven't heard from anybody in Galveston.
Yeah.
And now we've got a great signal going on down there.
Yeah.
So Call in, pledge.
Yes, we've got people waiting to hear from you.
This show
survives. They want to
help
hear from
this,
you.
You know,
they want
and I
to
still
hear.
Don't
yes.
hear those phones ringing.
I know. 713-526-573.
Remember, you don't miss your water until your well goes dry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you don't want that well to be dry, so prime the pump.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We all have our goals that we need to make, and that is so that this station can stay on the air. I know there's lots of popular shows during the daytime, some that bring in thousands and thousands of dollars, but it's not right that they have to be the ones that
fund our show.
Fund our show. That's
yes.
right. And in fact, the goal for our show is far less than it costs to run this radio station. It takes about $125, $150 an hour.
Wow.
To run the station.
Mm-hmm.
We're on 3 hours a week, and so our goal does not. It falls far short from covering that expense.
Hmm.
But the management realizes that we are on in the middle of the night,
mm-hmm.
and that there's a lot less people listening. But the people who are listening not only are avid listeners to After Hours, but they're steady listeners. They listen every week. And it may not be for the whole show, but whenever they can listen, even if it's just driving home after the bars close.
Yeah.
You
yep.
know, in your car.
Yeah.
You listen, you get something out of this show, it means something to you.
And as you come out of the bars, stop by the studio and make a donation.
There you right. go. There you go. Well, they're probably
we'd love
finishing.
To see you. Yeah.
They're either at home listening to us on the radio right now, or they're eating breakfast.
True. There needs to be. They might be over in one of the
we
diners.
We need to yeah. show that there is some kind of show of, well, that right. it is a show of support for the show.
Yes.
I mean, just, you know.
Yes.
If that's important as well.
Yeah, we would love that $500 pledge, but just the show of support for the minimum membership drive, membership is $35. And if you can scrape that together, that is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's really nothing.
And like, you know, that if you know, it's not just gay people; it's straight people. I mean,
yes.
And yes, you know, the other day, I ran to a friend I hadn't seen in a while. He said, "Oh, I was driving back from Austin. I didn't know you were on that radio station. I really enjoyed listening." This is a straight man,
mm-hmm.
musician, but he's a straight man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so straight people. And if you're somebody out there, and you think, "Why don't straight people understand?" Well, this is one place where straight people can even accidentally hear the station
mm-hmm.
and gain
and
more understanding.
They do.
You know, and that's important. So that needs to be supported. It's not just about us communicating with the gay community. It's about really giving people a broader understanding of how we are all alike and how we all are working through our stuff, and we all need to sort of pull together.
And as I was,
and we need to support that. It needs to be supported.
I was explaining to someone who wasn't sure about what bisexuality meant, and I explained the Kinsey scale of 0 to 6, 0 being
yes.
exclusively heterosexual, and 6 meaning exclusively homosexual. And we say straight people, but you know, there. I think the percentage of exclusively heterosexual people and exclusively homosexual people are really small. Maybe 10% on either end, and everybody mm-hmm. else is in the middle.
Yeah,
in
just
some
think,
form
oh,
of bisexuality.
Enjoy being in the middle.
Yes.
Yeah, I know it's fun being in the middle.
You know, even if you just think about it a lot, you know, you're not maybe not exactly a zero, maybe you're a 1/2.
Yeah.
Or you know, you realize that you draw your emotional strength from women. But maybe you dabble a little, you know, you hit a bookstore every now and then and
yeah.
and do a little something, so maybe you're a 1. Or on the other end, gay men who really are emotionally tied to men and react to men in that manner, every once in a while they dabble on the wild side. So maybe they're a five or a five and a half. But
well, I'd like to throw in,
yes,
we have had Fritz Klein on this show.
Yes, we have.
And we do have to mention the bisexual option and the mm-hmm. The Klein sexual orientation grid.
Right.
Which gets bisexuality is much more complex even mm-hmm. than that.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
And I was just trying to explain that simply to someone.
But we've had Fritz Klein on this show.
Yes,
in the
we
past.
Have.
We've had
more
Carol
than
Queen. We've had quite, and we'll
and
have them again.
People manifest differently in different parts of their lives.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, as to what they're exploring, what's just generally the conditions of their life.
Orientation well, the can be fluid.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly. Right.
And according to the Klein grid, it's not just on one parameter. You have a orientation on an emotional, a physical, on a spiritual, on a political. Sexual orientation is built up of many, many different components.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My own experiences. Growing up, I can say, I'm looking at the women, so I guess I'm straight. But there was always some thought in the back of my mind because I ever hear anything about homosexuality,
right?
My attention. Now, be listening to this show. Here's Gigi talking about bisexuality. I said, "What's that? What's that about?" So that may be me. I'll listen some more.
There you go.
I just read an article about yet another group that was sort of wiring up weenies and showing movies to try to prove that
New York Times article.
They're trying to prove that straight men, that bisexual men, are actually gay. God forbid that, they should actually, it should actually be okay that straight men dabble a bit every then. Oh, no, we can't have that. The whole society would crumble.
We actually did a show on that article a while back.
That was funny.
And actually, it's come back up in the bi community on mm-hmm. the bi listservs.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Ruth is now saying, she responded to a bisexual saying, bisexuality doesn't really exist based on that article.
Dr. Ruth, of all people.
I know.
What is wrong with her? Bisexuality is an option. Mm-hmm. It is an orientation. It is not a path between one or the other.
Well, the bi community is sending her tons of mail.
And the straight guys that dabble are not going to let anybody wire up their weenie, most of them, to be tested.
That's
They're just not going to, thank you.
Well, the other thing, too, is that measuring hard-ons has nothing to do with sexual orientation.
Absolutely not, because I enjoy straight porn. So what
I've
would that
sex
say
with and without, thank
if,
you.
If my weenie was wired up, it would be very confusing.
Well, don't feel bad. I like gay porn. I look at gay porn. I like that more than this.
And I hope you remember the response I came out with. Maybe they just had some really lousy porn.
Something I've overheard you talk on the show about is that there's a lot of straight men who are attracted to seeing two women getting it on.
Oh, yes.
And,
yes.
Hearing you talk about it, I kind of realize I'm one of those guys who, if I say I find it interesting, but it's not a big turn-on for me.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also women who enjoy seeing two men together.
Right.
Most of my lesbian friends that I know enjoy too.
Yeah. I also did a study off the cuff.
Mm-hmm.
In response to this,
so well.
And we hooked up with this little thing to measure men's hard-ons.
Yes.
Put them in a red sports car. There's a new sexual orientation towards red sports cars.
I believe it. Did you try football?
Oh, we should try football games.
Yes. What would that
say? When they're patting each other on the...
No. Just watching it, sitting there with a beer, being lazy, watching it. I think that's actually
and
sexually satisfying to some men.
And there's also a sexual orientation to boring business meetings.
There you go. Power.
Power.
What turns you on? Power. That's definitely a foot.
So you got to be careful on some of these things.
Yes. Weenie wiring thing. Yeah, you got to be careful.
Maybe be careful with them Dr. Peppers. They may,
So if you don't want your weenie wired up, give us a call. 713-526-5738.
Of course, I want mine wired up.
Maybe you want your weenie wired up, and we would be more than happy to do that for you here. here.
And there's a few that got, there's another sexual orientation from getting your weenie wired up.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. And then there's like clean houses, clean bathrooms, tidy bowls.
Oh my
but
God.
But do call in with your support. We
yes,
need
please.
It.
We do need your support. 713-526-5738.
If you want to keep camp on the air.
That's right. If you want nude radio to continue.
Yes.
Yes, and we haven't done nude radio in quite a while.
One thing about gay radio, no matter how serious we get, no matter how serious you are, you will never, never, never find the show without a sense of humor.
Yeah,
it will all be never too serious to be able to laugh about ourselves and everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We like to have fun here while we're getting the word out. Mm-hmm.
So you can you're always going to get a chuckle out of this show at some point, unless you're just beyond redemption.
Now, Bynet meets every third Thursday at the Hobbit, right? And every first Saturday
is
moving
tomorrow.
Night.
Or
at
tonight.
The community center.
Yes.
Or tonight, you know, being as
tonight.
Officially Saturday.
Yes. And there's a movie, and everybody sits around and jaw jacks.
It's good food and communication, talking.
You bet.
Well, why don't we take a music break?
We can do that, because I have Daniel Link fired up here, because I wanted to play Bruce Wayne from his CD, brand new CD called Color of Rain. I wanted to play that earlier and got the wrong one there, so let's play that right now. While you are calling in to 713-526-5738.
Free program you just heard.
you a drink, you turn to thank him and you blink, and then your heart begins to sink, and then the first thing you know, you're in love. He begs your pardon and wonders if you'd like to dance. You tell yourself there's not a chance of this becoming a romance. And then the first thing you know, you're in love. And while he's holding you gently, your lips accidentally brush in a kiss. How can there be such bliss in one sweet random kiss? Now hear this, I won't deny it. In case you're guessing what you're guessing, he's the guy and I'm confessing. I'm the boy and I said yes. And when we kissed, at first, at last, I was really in love. Accidentally brush in a kiss. How can there be such bliss in one sweet random kiss? Now hear this, I won't deny it. In case you're guessing what you're guessing, he's the guy and I'm confessing. I'm the boy and I said yes. And on the first of the month, we'll be hand in love. You let yourself go and the first thing you know, you're in love. So in love. Yes, you're in love.
That was Sean Ryan from his CD Blue Skies, and the song was The First Thing You Know. And we're waiting for Gigi's group to...
Yes, we're coming back in slowly.
Sure. We have to find a two-cigarette song or something here.
Oh, I know. But I do want to remind everybody to pledge. It's 713-526-5738. Give us a call. Support us if you like what we do on the air.
Please.
You must pledge.
Yes. Pledge. Baby. We've been talking about marriage. The birds and the bees and the apples and the trees. It's all about love.
It's all about the ultimate fantasy.
No matter, you know, I do have to bring up my grandmother. She was wonderful. At one point when I was a teenager, she came up to me and she says, no matter what form it takes, love is always love.
That's it.
And that's what really counts in life.
There you go. Good for Granny.
Uh-huh. Well, she had her day. I mean, she was in college in the 20s and really went wild in that group.
It was wild in the 20s, and people forget that.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it was really, you know.
And the 20s,
short
especially with
no
women,
knickers.
A
yeah.
lot of women mm-hmm. in the 20s were
all
by.
Those, get all that hair cut off to those nice,
yeah,
free, bobs short bobs.
And,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And some of the dances back then.
Oh, yeah.
The
yeah.
jitterbag.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's amazing because one of the things that growing up, I kind of started studying about sexuality, and I realized that our current day standards haven't always been the case. And you start looking back in time, and there's been times throughout human history where we've had very wild times and then very conservative times.
And you also can look at cultures that weren't Christian dominated,
yes,
such as Japan. And mm-hmm, there were long periods, and even today it's not horribly frowned on the way it has been over here. And there were long periods of time where sort of the samurais, you know, had a very much male to male love culture to die for each other and all that, mm-hmm, kind of stuff. And it was more a matter of aesthetics. I mean, it was more like if you did it with bad form, that was really awful.
Yeah.
But as long as you did it in a really incredible way, beauty is beauty.
The sex manuals from, mm-hmm, India.
Yes.
The Kama Sutra, learning many different positions, many, mm-hmm, different techniques. What I find a shame in our culture is that a man and a woman are expected to fall in love, have little or no sex ed, and be able to perform in bed the first night.
Mm-hmm. And a lot
with
of shame.
With no training.
A lot of shame and guilt. And not really finding a way to be beautiful for each other.
Yeah. But in India, they're trained from very young how to have sex.
Yeah.
And how to please one another and how to turn on each other and get that spark going.
Betty Dodson was on The View or something. I happened to be watching it with my mom, and she was one of the wonderful sex therapists of the 70s, and the whole idea that a lot of women had never even seen their own genitals, and she started a whole big workshops and everything about that, and she's still going strong.
It was
really great to see her on a show like that. And my mom said, well, you know...
What was her name again? Betty
Dodson.
Yeah, she's got a great website. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Oh, she has people mail in pictures, photographs of their genitals.
Wonderful.
And just because we, in our society, we never see people naked.
Well,
except in the locker room.
I appreciate pornography, but it's also that's what I'm saying. It's also nice to see representation of genitalia that is not, because a lot of times people associate skin, nakedness, instantly with sex, and it makes a lot of tension.
I think once
you get used to just, okay, this is what bodies look like, this is what it's like to touch a body, it's not so completely
foreign
about doing it. Any touch mean we're going to do it. It's just that animal warmth.
The other thing this site does is that if you go on it, you'll find that there's a great diversity in both male and female genitalia.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's amazing how some who have slightly different characteristics in their genitalia feel like they're less than human.
Wow.
And the site is very healing for them because they find out that, I'm not alone.
I'm even part of a spectrum, a little different, but
but there's others with differences too.
Yes.
And so it helps educate people to realize, oh, I don't need to be ashamed of my body because it's different.
Right.
I don't have to be the same as everybody else. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So go to Betty Dodson's website and check it out. It's really amazing.
Dodson. But one of the things I'm going to say too is it was so sweet because my mom and dad had a very warm relationship. They loved each other their whole marriage until he passed away, and they still love each other wherever they are. He is. But she very sort of sweetly said, "Well, you know, I didn't really know anything when I get married, and I was very shy at first." And I thought, good for you, Mom. But a lot of the people don't get over that shyness, and they never really works.
Well, and also for women, a lot of women, and it's getting better, but for a long time, women were supposed to do their duty and got no training and
make no demands.
A lot of women were not getting anything out of sex.
No.
They didn't learn about their bodies and how to have an orgasm. And I think that's another benefit of some of the sites out there is it teaches men and women how to have sex and how to enjoy it.
Yeah, because with men, I mean, something pops up in front of you, it's kind of hard to ignore.
Well, even with men, there can be sometimes scary things that happen.
But I'm saying it's just more obvious.
Well, But when I first came of age, I did not realize that the first time you ejaculate, you get a lot of fluid.
That's
that
right.
First time.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd busted something, you know.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Now, a lot of men get their first one during a nocturnal emission while they're asleep. Mm-hmm. And they just wake up the next morning and think, oops, I had an accident.
I don't remember my first one, oddly enough.
Oh, it terrified. I mean, it felt like it felt too good to be peeing, but there's more fluid than what it
is. Something broke.
Yeah,
that's scary.
And it was scary. And that, combined that I'm a hermaphrodite and I had bleeding with it, because I had periods my first year of puberty.
Wow.
Nobody ever told me.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
How cool.
But I also have some, I'm able to have female orgasms and male orgasms, but
I didn't know
but
that,
the bleeding's,
wow.
I went to a doctor, I saved up money and went.
Sure.
The doctor did a few tests and said, well, there's nothing wrong. And I said, but what is it? And he said, there's just nothing wrong. It'll go away eventually.
He couldn't talk about it.
He couldn't talk about it.
How horrible.
And to me, that's what education in this show is all about, is that we have a great diversity in people.
I was thinking back when I was coming of age that I really did not have information. You know, like I picked up on the message, the cultural message, oh, you don't talk about this.
Sure.
I learned about masturbation from my cousin, who happens to be gay.
Hmm?
Yeah, me and him played around. It's like, yeah, he's gay, but I'm the one that started. I learned masturbation from him at the time. Hey, this feels good. It feels wonderful. Then one day I just had to start, wait a minute, what's this fluid? I could be bleeding or something. And then it's like I spent, I don't know, a few months trying, I better stop. And getting real guilty about it. I kept doing it because it felt good. Until I found a book at home that just happened to give a description of how the body works. And it's like, oh,
it is
now
okay.
I get it.
That's not an issue. Okay, good. I can relax about that.
Yeah, just
and
if I had the information.
I think this is one of the things that even more so shouts out that, on this whole marriage issue, it's not just the marriage issue, it's how we're educated in this kind of sex-negative, sexually repressed society.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see a lot more freedom and a lot more openness.
Yep.
I mean,
2,000 years of being told that sex is only for procreation has done
a lot of
incredible damage on our entire society, no matter what you believe, because we all grow up in it if we grow up in the West.
Right. Yes. And so, I think it's important to kind of explore, I've looked at sexuality from many different vantage points.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the vantage points that came up for me is the spiritual side of sexuality.
Oh, yes.
And this wonderful gift the goddess has given us, or whatever deity you believe in. I mean, think about it for a minute. Our whole body is composed of these rich nerve endings, and some of those areas on our body can become supercharged erogenous zones. Isn't that an amazing gift? I wrote once, if the goddess had intended for humans to have sex, she would have given us genitals.
Mm-hmm. And it just opens up so many, many, many creative levels of reality and magical levels of reality while you're in that space. While all those nerve endings are sending out all those messages, it's like you're at times you're just communicating with all of time and space and the universe and everyone and all that. I mean, if you're doing it.
The other thing is that I also noticed that's very, I look for parallels.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times in Eastern religions, I get into deep meditations to get totally in the here and now, the total present. And isn't that what orgasm does for us?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we have a really good one, it's like all the focus is right here, right now.
Well, and I absolutely believe that sex is a form of worship.
Oh, it is.
You know,
totally.
Whether it's the most anonymous, never going to see you again, tawdry thing in the world,
there's still, to me, an act of worship. And mm-hmm. and when it's really great is when both people are participating in that worship.
Yes.
In terms of the you know, as well as all the sort of earthiness and juiciness of human beings, also just completely opening up to the divinity in each other. You know, whatever that means. I'm not even going to define what divinity means, but it's just somehow that part that just elevates everything.
Yeah.
You know, and that's that form of worship, opening that up through worship so it elevates back and forth.
And the other part of that, too, is that when we do make love with another human being, there's a part of us that transcends just the body and the physical form.
Mm-hmm.
And that spark, you see it. It's glow in the eyes.
And that goes back to
spirit to spirit.
Yes, and that goes back to what he was saying about freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, the marriage issue. A lot of our things in our society say that can only happen with one person, and you have to be committed to that person, and you have to be in a relationship with, and you blah blah blah, and you have to this, and you have to that, and you have to have this paper. Blah, 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 blah. It just happens, folks, right. If you're doing it right.
Sounds like that, you know. Robert
people
talk,
are wonderful.
Talked about earlier that we have a, you know, open relationship. Yep, right now, say my primary relationship is with her.
Mm-hmm.
I can be honest with her. You know, I might say that guy or that girl looks interesting, and I, you know, if the opportunity presents itself, I would like to. Doesn't mean I got to go move in with them.
Right. Mm-hmm. And again, if you want to do it with one person, please do.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and if you don't, please don't.
I run a sacred sex temple, and one mm-hmm. of the things I encourage people with is not only how to say yes, but also how to say no.
Absolutely.
In a sex-positive way.
We're kind of like just blending into the round table.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So if you see more
come and join us.
Yeah, we've got more people coming in, and
do we have news to talk about too? Come and other subjects?
And other kind of
yeah,
subjects?
Well, let me finish
bring up?
This before okay. this line of thought real quick, because I think it is important. A lot of times we on this show we talk about yes and let's go down on it and let's do yep. it and have a fun
people
time, but I also teach people how to say no in a very respectful way.
Yes, yes. Not as a put-down, but as,
right.
No, thank you.
Because
that whole, I'm better, you know, that whole sort of brush-off thing is,
well,
is really demeaning.
One of the things
unnecessary.
I try to bring up is that just to have the courage to approach someone on a sexual level,
yes.
and say, hey, I like you,
mm-hmm.
You're beautiful,
mm-hmm.
I want to have sex with you.
Mm-hmm.
is an honor.
Well, you know,
that should be respected, even if you don't want to have sex with them.
Mm-hmm.
To say, and what I say is, don't just say no. Say, I am honored that you asked,
right.
but it's not right for me to do this at this moment in time.
I have this theory that being admired is a lost art.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense of there was a time, it seemed like, in Gizeh society where there are certain people that are just beautiful.
The Statue of David.
You know? And, and they people knew how to take that appreciation and just glow for the world.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now, it's sort of like a commodity, and don't you dare try to cash in on my commodity. And mm-hmm. I mean, it's just this stingy, awful
thing. Let's hear from some of our
thing. Yes.
And why don't you introduce yourselves?
I'm Drew.
And he's,
hi, Drew.
He's worthy of admiration.
Yes.
And so, and
yes.
so is this gentleman.
My name is Alfonso.
Hello.
I get admired all the time.
Yeah.
I go to nightclubs around here, and girls will come up to me and be like, you're fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. I'm a very vain person, so it's natural for me to appreciate that. And I think it is very
but you don't act like it's awful that somebody's
no.
admiring you and look at you like some of these idiots do.
No, I flaunt my body for everyone to look at. I mean, yeah. And I tell people that I admire them, too. I will go
exactly.
around and tell people,
exactly.
you are beautiful.
Yes.
You know, and you should be proud of that.
Well, I believe that if you think something good about something, buddy, please tell them.
Don't deny it.
And yeah. also, just telling
eyes.
Someone that they're beautiful doesn't mean you want to get into their...
No.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
Okay, I have a pet peeve when it comes to this, though.
Well, of course you
okay,
would.
Okay, let's hear
yeah.
it.
Like, having someone, like, check me out, as you might call it, or, you know, tell me I'm good looking is one thing. But, like, when people keep harping on it, it gets on my nerves. Or when people like stare at me as I cross the room.
Where? And what do you mean by harping?
Yeah. Like, just keep mentioning it.
Right.
Like, there, I've met people who won't quit talking about how good looking I am or how good looking someone else is. And I'm like, yeah, we get it. You think he's good looking. Okay, move on.
And right. I think absolutely. You bring up, yeah. I think you touch the difference between a sex negative culture and a sex positive
right.
culture.
Right.
With sex positive culture, we respect and honor one another.
Yes.
And a sex negative, bodies become a commodity. They become something right. to possess. They no. become a
bargaining
tool. Bargaining tool. They become a notch in the bedpost.
That's wrong. Bodies should never be a bargaining tool. And the whole possessive nature.
And I mean, and also doors just kind of open in a certain way. You know, I mean, for certain people. So okay, that's you know, that's
and
okay.
I think key underline is that it's all based on our attitudes and values
mm-hmm.
systems. What we develop is our attitudes and values. If we look at people as human beings, and if we honor each other and respect one another,
mm-hmm.
and we come from our heart, then we can communicate at a very deep level.
And
if we
yeah.
stay on this kind of body beautiful...
I've lived long enough to see how bitter and awful people who only concentrate on the beauty of the mm-hmm. body and that whole
not
commodification, they end
yeah.
up so awful and bitter that it's just tragic.
Yeah,
it's
right.
just horrible to see. Huh? And it doesn't have to be that way.
They become... Mm-hmm. totally focused on the outer shell. They don't see the inner person of anybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They see, they're only skin deep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't see what
and
those people can
and they become incredibly cynical as they get older.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had the experience, you know, with a relationship with Robin, you know, so she's now a swimsuit model, but everything's in proportion. But the idea is that, you know, say my attraction to women. Yeah, I seem to have a stronger attraction to the swimsuit model, but my own direct experience tells her that as far as having an actual relationship, that the looks.
I've had
aren't
women
that
complain that their boyfriends are always trying to get them to eat and put on weight. So I don't think that's
right.
necessarily as true
right.
as it would seem.
As you see people today, like with modern America and TV, the way they show beauty,
mm-hmm.
especially TV,
isn't really what it's supposed to be. They show these supermodels and then you should be like this and try to mold society.
They're airbrushed and they're
well, to be what they want them to be.
There's always going
to
be fashion and there's always going to be trends and
right.
that's really fun. But when it sort of starts verging into the cookie cutter thing, I mean, I have a hard time keeping track of which blonde is which blonde because
mm-hmm.
they all sort of like
right. are blonde.
Well, yeah. there's another
very
element
little difference
to
this between
them. Too, and that is that in our culture, we worship youth and beauty,
mm-hmm.
but guess what? We all get older.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's inevitable.
And I used to work for Meals on Wheels long ago,
mm-hmm.
and I remember I'd go and deliver a meal to someone in their 50s, and they were like old and tired.
Mm-hmm.
And
they've lived a long life.
And then I met someone in their 90s that was still young and vibrant and full
well,
of spirit.
I think
And I think, once again, it gets back to attitude and it gets back to how we...
It's a flow. Because yeah. everything...
Honor
goes,
and
for everything,
ourselves and each other.
I think if you keep the flow open, for everything that goes, something comes.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you keep going with that transition of like, okay, that's gone... That's
mm-hmm.
no longer, but this is, wow, this is incredible. This is coming into my life. So
mm-hmm.
it's not just about loss. It's continuing. I mean, every age that I've been so far has something amazing about it.
It's also a matter of focus. When we focus sexuality just on a body,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
then we're losing out.
And
we see the bigger picture and see that there's much more to attraction than just physical beauty.
Yes.
Socrates was considered ugly.
Mm-hmm.
But he screwed around like a little bunny rabbit.
Yeah.
But he had one thing, and this was something that we can each change in
one?
Ourselves.
No.
He had
gay joke.
He had something called charisma. Charisma
yes.
comes
yes.
from the spirit.
Yeah.
That yep. spark you get in your eye.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that beauty is a lasting beauty.
Yep.
It never dies away.
Mm-hmm.
It never gets old.
There's a lot. Go ahead. Sorry.
There are people that think they should die young. I've met so many people that are, going to die young so I can have a beautiful corpse, you know?
Jimmy and I were talking about that earlier.
It's like you're throwing away half your life.
I was saying that it dawned on me that is actually, I think, a factor in the sort of bug-chasing culture. The whole idea of, because there's not a whole lot of historical role model of admirable... Well, not, I wouldn't say admirable, but I don't know what to do when you're old.
Right. Guidance.
That a lot of gay young men are like, well, I don't want to get old. That'd be a drag. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the point of getting old? So I might as well be a bug chaser. You know, and I think if enough people stay alive this time, this go around, you know, there will be more role models of how to age in gay life gracefully and beautifully, you know.
Like... I'm young. I'm only 20 years old, and I'm living my life the way I want, because I know I have these days, and they're very few and far between. I could wake up tomorrow and just die. But I live
I've
my
always
life
felt like that.
To yeah, my full extent, to where I'm happy, to where I have no regrets.
That makes
and
life exciting.
I know when I get older, I'm going to have more of a slowdown period, and hopefully some guidance with my life. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd love to be able to be like these people that cruise around the nation on their retirement fund.
But you don't have to lose your love of life.
No.
You don't act it out the same way.
Right.
It doesn't stimulate you to do the same things, but that incredible, vital love of life is still in there.
Ben Franklin in his old age was running around Europe having sex with nobles.
He impressed the French. And if you impress the French with your sexuality, you got something going on.
And even in his 60s, he was impressing the French. So. There's a saying, if you don't use it, you lose it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there is some truth to that.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you stay vibrant and get more in touch with that spiritual side of sexuality, it will thrive all the way into old age.
Yeah, like BDSM and whatnot. Sex is sex. Sex is a connection between two people in a certain period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a connection like anything else. It's not love. It's carnal nature, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. But it's... Go ahead.
And, like, the bondage and whatnot and all the different things, it's all spices for life. It's not the thing. I know people that dwell on that kind of stuff and think that's what they need, but it's really not. It's all sensual, and it's in the mind, and it's...
But don't you think that at the heart of all that, at the center of all that, is something about opening your heart?
It is.
And opening your mind.
You have to.
Well, I've been into BDSM for many, many years, and there's a trust between the body. Submissive in the top.
Very much so. You can't.
And there's a bonding that occurs that goes deeper than
love.
Many vanilla relationships. And there's a lot more communication that goes on than has to for safety.
You have to be able to trust them.
So, we are going in wide circles.
Which is wonderful.
Oh, yes, I love it.
Thanks for stopping by.
Yes.
Our little BDSM spokesman is leaving.
Do you want to throw in one more time? We're running short on time. If you haven't made a pledge, please call in and pledge to us.
Where else are you going to find out about this stuff? Well, online, but it's not as fun.
We got over there in the other room, we got all these old style telephones with real big bells. We want to be able to hear them.
And the number is 713-526-5738. Give us a call, give us a pledge. Support.
Pledge early and pledge often.
Support After Hours.
That's
Queer
right.
Radio with Attitude.
Okay, well, what we're going to do is start wrapping up here, because we're going to do a quick teaser here at the end here about the elections coming up here on Tuesday with our senior political analyst, and wrap up and get on out of here. So, are you ready to wrap then?
Yes, we're ready to wrap.
I'll go ahead and end with this little thought I've had run through all the evening the whole time, and I'll go and throw it out there that what a group of people are wanting is they want to enact laws to protect the institute of marriage, which I guess may be okay if you don't mind living in an institution.
Yes.
And I will say that public
you know, supported radio doesn't just entertain, it actually saves lives. Mm. And I know it's saved mine many, many times in other parts of my anatomy. Please, 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 please pledge, if not this show, some show, please support this. Houston would be so dismal without it. Thanks, everybody.
And this is a unique station within the whole world. I mean, I don't know of any other radio program like After Hours.
That's right.
Throughout the whole country. We represent the whole GLBT community.
Mm. And beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've only been here for a couple of months or so, but I love it. I mean, everything that y'all talk about is so positive, and you go at it in such a professional way. And I think that's really good. I mean...
Oh, me? Professional?
I mean, it sounds professional.
Got you. Thank Chris for that.
Thank you. I've never really watched any shows on TV or whatever that shows about drag queens and stuff, and shows in, like, I guess, a professional kind of way, because any other time they always, like, play around with it or make fun of it. And it is fun. I understand that. But, you know, it's good to just... Talk about it. You know?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, let's turn it back to Chris.
Yes, we'll give you that for everybody. One more time.
Later. Thank you, Gigi. 713-526-5738 is the phone number here. If you don't get it in tonight there, it's www.kpft.org. You can put in your pledge of support. We've got the one person to thank still. It'd be nice if we had more. We're at... Oh, geez, what, 5% of our goal? But what we want to do now is we'll talk about the fact that we touched a little bit there on Prop 2, which is the one everyone's talking about. So we've got our senior political analyst here, Travis.
So, hi. Okay, early voting ended today, and there was a collective sigh of relief from everyone. West Gray Multi-Service Center is the largest voting location. We had 1,300 people at the end of the day, 800 at the end of yesterday. It's a good turnout. A large number of those people were against Proposition 2. The GLBT Caucus of Houston has come out against Prop 2, obviously.
And the Chronicle, I believe, has.
The Chronicle, from what I hear, I've verified this, from what I hear, though, every substantial newspaper in the state of Texas has come out against it.
Yeah.
But, you know...
At least they were saying that you know, it's going to be the youth vote that swings this one.
Yeah. Well, in Houston, obviously.
Yeah.
Being that we'll have 8% of Houston turnout, which is about 200,000 people. And then, you know, no one else in the state of Texas, other than the people going out to vote solely on Prop 2. Also, Houston is the only city in the state of Texas with a general election this year. We're electing mayor, city controller, and all 14 positions on city council, at large, 1 through 5, and districts A through I. The GLBT caucus has endorsed Bill White for mayor, Anise Parker for city controller, Peter Brown for position 1, Sue Lovell for position 2, Ron Green for position 4, and Michael Stoma for position 5. Those are all at large. You can vote in all of them. And then A through I are too many to name. You can go to hglbtpc.org. It's basically Houston Gay
Lesbian,
Bisexual, Transgender Political Caucus, but hglbtpc.org. It always takes me a while to think of that one.
You also because there is the different ways of spelling GLBT.
Right. Okay, as far as the other amendments go, you guys have mentioned that. Prop 1 through 9, the Democratic Party of Texas has taken official stances no on all of them. There's been some general consensus among Houston people of anything passed by this legislature just obviously couldn't be a bad idea, or couldn't be a good idea.
Yeah.
Although Prop 2 was written by a guy, or Prop 7 was written by a man named Scott Hochberg, who's a well-respected Democratic senator. And so there are some people who are in the yes camp for that one. Prop 1 has something to deal with train whistles in the city of Houston or something. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
I really haven't studied any of these.
Well, there's 9 state constitutional amendments.
8 and 9 don't even affect
Harris
County.
There's 5 Harris County referenda on there, I believe.
Oh, are there?
I saw.
See, I mean, but these things are so small,
But you're not getting any coverage. The only reason I heard about that is looking at a sample ballot.
Okay.
And there was no information on the ballot of what those propositions were, just that I don't know if it was a placeholder or what.
Yeah, I hate to sound like this, but if I haven't heard of them, I mean, I can name every single person on city council.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad. You know, I pride myself on knowing a lot about politics. I hadn't heard anything about that.
But, I mean, like I said, with the propositions, unfortunately, the way the state of Texas, the Constitution was written, it's very narrow so that, you know, people up in Amarillo can decide whether or not we build another sports stadium here in Houston.
Exactly.
And, yes. You know, the people in Dallas can decide whether or not someone in the some county in the valley doesn't hire a state county surveyor.
Yeah, I mean, it's, like I said, we had to amend the Constitution to allow ATMs. The senators pay per year, $7,200 a year, whoop-dee, is written specifically in our state constitution. $7,200. I mean, this is the kind of thing we're talking about, you know. So,
well, you know, I mean, unfortunately, it's Texas politics, because technically, in the state law, it still is written that you can be executed for cattle rustling.
Absolutely, why not?
But the fact is, you know, it's not going to happen, because the Supreme Court would strike that down.
Right.
Well, you know, with the conservative Supreme Court we're getting here, you know, blinking three times will get you.
I am so happy that Arlen Specter stood up to George W. Bush. Oh, that pleased me. Yeah. I'm getting more and more respect for Arlen Specter as this goes on. He keeps saying, no, we're going to do this right.
Yeah.
And it's making me happy. And he's pro-choice. I would have no one else in charge of the judicial committee.
But the big important thing is make sure you let your voice be heard on Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. You can check out it.
And
HCVoter.net
is the new one. And also, I will remind everyone, there's a lesbian running for city council. Her name is Sue Lovell. She's running for city council at large, position 2. And I will say this. The straight community, the conservative community, will be looking at Sue Lovell's race, as well as Prop 2 in the city of Houston. And if the gay community can't turn out to elect Sue Lovell, and they can't turn out to vote no on Proposition 2, they will put someone, a strong conservative, up against Denise Parker when she runs for mayor.
Yeah.
So if you want Denise to be mayor, go out and vote now in these elections.
Two people we need to thank here, Cindy out down in Pearland, and Christine here in Houston. That's close enough to the Montrose there for a change of pace. Thank you very much for your generous contributions and pledges here to KPFT. We do appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
You know, it's the little things that lets people know, that, you know, lets us know there's people out there listening. And pledges of support like that do go a long way for those of us who work here and the powers that be. So we're wrapping it up. Next week, pledge drive again, and then we're quiet for a while. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back next week. Phone calling your last-minute pledge of support for us, 713-526-5738, www.kpft.org. This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, KPFT Houston.